This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents Bloodbond 2 by Helen Hart. Performed by John Lane and Lauren Rowe.
Prologue. Aaron. He swept me into his arms and placed me on my bed.
Mine, he growled. These lips are mine.
He ripped my bra open at the middle.
These breasts are mine. That treasure between your legs is mine.
He licked his lips, his eyes dark with desire.
You are mine.
But yesterday, I whimpered.
You didn't want... Forget yesterday. I want you now. And I will have what's mine.
He inhaled.
I can smell you. I can smell how much you want me.
I could smell it, too. My lust was thick in the room, and it hadn't been there with Logan. Dante had brought it out in me. Dante, who I hardly know. Dante, who was rude as hell. Dante, who had broken into my home. Dante, who I'd found vandalizing the blood bank. Dante, who I wanted more than my next breath of air. Couldn't think, couldn't form words. All I wanted was his mouth on me, everywhere. He tugged off my shoes, then my jeans and panties. He spread my legs and closed his eyes.
Your musk is the sweetest thing I've ever scented.
Scented? Odd use of the word. But then he lowered his head, slithered his tongue over his bottom lip, opened his eyes, and then his mouth, his eyes ablaze with rage.
What the hell is that?
Chapter 1. Dante. She didn't respond, just stared at me, her peridot eyes wide. Anger inched along my skin as it tightened around my body, a tingling in my gums. I'd already let my fangs out once without meaning to, during our first kiss. She'd nicked her tongue, and I'd gotten a brief taste of her essence, a flavor so intense and intoxicating. And I'd had to have her. Her pussy smelled like fresh flowers and fruit, but when I opened my eyes, two puncture wounds on the inside of her left thigh. A vampire bite. I'd recognize the lesion anywhere. A vampire had fed from her femoral artery. Someone had tasted what was mine. The need to possess rose within me, while the wild urge to punish whirled through my veins. This had happened recently. Though the wounds were healing, they were near fresh. Who tasted you? I demanded in a snarling voice. She met my angry gaze.
What?
Rage overtook me. I looked away, squeezing my eyes tightly shut. Couldn't look at her right now. If I looked, I might... Damn. I opened my eyes and turned back to her, her own eyes frightened and confused. You let someone... I stopped abruptly. She'd most likely been glamoured, and didn't even know she'd been fed from. I closed my eyes again and drew in a deep breath. Control eluded me, but I had to find it from somewhere. I dived deep within myself, the self I'd been before I was taken. As angry as I was that someone had fed from her, this wasn't her fault. She hadn't known. But I needed to feed, needed to mark my territory. Can't do it. She doesn't know what I am. I gathered all my strength, moved away from her, and opened my eyes. My dick was still hard. I'd been running on instinct with Aaron. For all intents and purposes, I was still a virgin, though not in the technical sense. Would I even know what to do with a woman? I'd known how to kiss her. I knew I wanted her mouth on my cock, wanted to taste the sweet nectar of her pussy. No instruction manual necessary, apparently. Aaron. I yearned for her, needed her, wanted to drown inside her. But I couldn't. Not when someone else had fed from her. Someone had violated the woman who was mine. I suppressed the growl that rose in my throat.
I find out who it was, and I make sure he never came near her again. She sat up in bed.
I don't understand. What's wrong?
I couldn't begin to explain the horrors running through my head. Yet something overpowered the horrors. Another urge. The urge to protect her. To protect what was mine. I hadn't protected her from whomever had violated her. How could I live with that? The hiss of my own blood in my veins thrummed in my ears, creating white noise.
What's wrong, Dante? Please, tell me what's wrong.
Her voice was sluggish and thick, as if she were speaking through a murky cloud of fog. No, it wasn't her voice that had the problem. My hearing wasn't right somehow. I pulled her up from the bed and into my arms. This wasn't her fault. I had to believe that she had no idea what had happened to her. I sank my nose into her dark hair and inhaled. Her sweet fragrance invaded my senses. I'll never let you go, Aaron. I'll find who did this to you, who took what belongs to me, and they'll never touch you again.
Dante?
I grabbed two fistfuls of her hair and inhaled again.
Dante?
Her voice was timid, fearful. I pulled back and gazed into her green eyes. I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm sorry I couldn't protect you.
What are you talking about?
I need to protect you, Aaron. I need to.
I'm a grown woman, Dante. You just looked between my legs and I can't even.
She rubbed at her forehead. I curled my hands into fists, rage surging through me like a black tornado. Violence, brutality, bloodshed. The urge to protect what was mine, to erase whoever had done this to her from existence, throttled me. I ached to mark her, to take her blood and mark what was mine. Not yet, though. She wouldn't understand, and I had to protect her. From everything. You're beautiful. Every part of you. I turned and sped out of her bedroom, down the stairs and out of her home. And I grabbed the first person I encountered, my cuspids ready to puncture flesh. The man screamed and struggled in my grasp.
Don't do it, Dante. This isn't who you are.
Aaron's voice. Why was she in my head?
No, do it. Give in to what you are, what you can become.
Another voice. She who'd abused me, held me captive, taken my blood against my will, stolen my life. She'd said those words to me many times while I was imprisoned, and I'd fought them with everything I had. I needed to fight them now, fight the animalistic urge that demanded control over me. I loosened my grip on the man. I'm sorry. I cleared my throat. I thought you were someone else. Whatever, man. He looked around, his eyes twitching. I'm out of here. I inhaled and exhaled slowly, trying to calm myself. I succeeded. I'd controlled the violent compulsion, but not before I'd scared an innocent man into peeing himself. My thirst for blood consumed me. I turned, heading toward Rivers. I'd find sustenance there. But I wouldn't find what I needed. I'd never have what I needed, what I desired more than life itself. I'd never have Aaron. I had to protect her at all costs, from whoever had been feeding on her. I also had to protect her from me.
Chapter 2. Aaron. What the hell is that? That was my vagina. That treasure between my legs, as he'd called it. Something down there had triggered him. Afterward, he'd said every part of me was beautiful, but still, the look in Dante's eyes had been something beyond anger, beyond even rage. I'd seen that look before in certain patients, schizophrenics who'd gone off their meds. Madness, pure madness. I needed to face something that I'd been blocking out for some reason. Dante Gabriel was dangerous, mad. As much as I was drawn to him, I needed to stay away from him, far away from him. It wouldn't be easy, considering the magnetic pull that seemed to force me toward him. What was happening? Maybe this was something more, something I'd never experienced. I'd thought I was in love with Corey. Maybe I hadn't been. Maybe this was love, this all-consuming, almost frightening craving for someone. No, couldn't be love. More like obsession. An obsession I needed to fight with everything in me before I found myself as mad as Dante. Sleep eluded me for most of the day, and at dusk I rose to shower and get ready for work. I wasn't looking forward to seeing Dr. Crown, well, since he'd unbuttoned my shirt, Logan, at the hospital. Maybe he wouldn't be in tonight. But once I got to work, there he was. He didn't meet my gaze when I said a soft hello. Not that I blamed him. I brought him to my place with the intention of fucking him, and he'd been chased away by a crazy man. A crazy man I couldn't get out of my mind.
Hey, chick.
Lucy walked toward me. You feeling better?
What?
She arched her brow. Your food poisoning.
Oh, right. Yeah, much better. Thanks. So I heard you went out with Dr. Hottie Nerd.
I rolled my eyes. Good news sure travels fast.
It does when Steve's around.
I shot Steve a heated look, but he only laughed and continued his work.
So how'd it go?
Lucy continued.
It didn't. We had breakfast. That's it.
Lucy stared at me, her blue eyes wide.
Aaron, when was the last time you got laid?
I looked around quickly. Could you have said that any louder?
Don't be ridiculous. I wasn't loud. You're just uncomfortable with the words.
She put on a pair of rubber gloves.
I'm serious. When?
Not long ago.
Bullshit. You haven't been with anyone since Corey, have you?
Actually, I had. A couple one-nighters and a guy I'd dated a few times. Funny that I hadn't told Lucy. I didn't usually withhold information from her, but one-nighters weren't my thing. They were Lucy's thing.
Not true. I've had a few flings.
Yeah? Without telling me?
I don't tell you everything, Luce.
Why not? I tell you everything.
I know.
Lucy's exploits were legendary. She was the horniest woman on the planet. A horny little bitch, she called herself, though I didn't care for that epithet.
So?
So, how can I compete with your sex life?
Aaron, it's not about competition.
She smiled, mischief in her eyes.
And you can't.
Lucy was beautiful in a girl-next-door kind of way. Honey blonde hair and blue eyes, a slightly curvy figure, and a bubbly personality. Men flocked to her. I'd been truly surprised to find out she hadn't slept with Logan.
Trust me, Luce, I'd never try.
I couldn't help a laugh.
So go over and talk to the good doctor, she said. Next time, make breakfast into a sleepover.
She had no idea how I'd tried. I couldn't relay to her the horrible story of this morning. She'd never believe it anyway. Plus, I was embarrassed. Dante had walked out on me after he'd interrupted my date with Logan.
What the hell is that?
Just what every woman wants to hear when a man looks between her legs.
I don't think so, I said. Okay, fine, so he's not your cup of tea. I get that. He's not mine either. Tell you what, you need a night on the town. We're both off tomorrow night. Let's go out.
I so wasn't the party all night type, but I'd be up all night anyway. Why not?
Okay, Luce, you've got yourself a date.
Great.
She sniffed and twirled around.
Dr. Bitchville is here.
Shit, look busy.
Looking busy was difficult on a slow night in the ER. However, the EMTs arrived a few minutes later with a heart attack victim. I rushed toward the gurney.
Male, mid-50s, about 250 pounds.
The EMT said.
Pulse is at 101, BP 90 over 40. We're losing him.
Doctor!
I called. Dr. Bonneville arrived swiftly. We got him situated, and I hooked him up to the EKG and started an IV.
We've got elevation of the ST segment, I said.
Current of injury, Dr. Bonneville concurred. Here come the T-wave inversions. Let's save this heart. 5,000 units of heparin Aaron, 40 milligrams to nectoplase.
I administered the medications while Dr. Bonneville monitored the patient.
Come on now, fight for me. Fight, damn it.
Then the telltale buzz.
He's flatlining, I said.
Damn it.
Dr. Bonneville began cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Prepare the paddles, Aaron.
I'd been working as an ER nurse for 5 years, and never had I gotten used to watching a doctor try to shock life back into a patient. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Tonight, it didn't. Dr. Bonneville closed her eyes and sighed. Time of death, 12:35 a.m.
I made the notation. We didn't even know the patient's name. No one had come in with him. He must have lived alone and called 911 when he began having pains. We'd establish his identity. We always did. Didn't make the whole thing any easier, though. Dr. Bonneville didn't like losing patients. No doctor or nurse did, but she took it harder than most, which always stunned me, given her normal attitude and willingness to treat her co-workers like yesterday's trash. I'd tried comforting her once. Once. I knew better now. She needed to be left alone, which was why I dropped my mouth open when she asked me to have a cup of coffee with her. It wasn't break time, and Bonneville wasn't one for taking time off that wasn't scheduled. But she was the boss.
Chapter 3. Dante. Now I will give you a gift. She ripped the skin on her wrist open with her fangs and presented it to me. Drink of me, as I have drunk from you. Not supposed to feed off each other. Dad and Bill had warned of severe side effects, but they'd never elucidated. I turned away, squeezing my eyes shut. Whomp! A punch landed on my exposed cheek. My eyes were forced open by one of her goons. You dare refuse such a precious gift? Blood dripped from her cut wrist onto my closed lips. Drink, Dante. Drink from me. This time another goon pried my lips apart, and a drop of her blood trickled across my tongue, leaving a trail of flame in its wake. My mind went fuzzy. I spent the next night and day lounging in River's apartment, fighting a duel with myself. How could I protect Erin from everything, including me, when she, and the desire I had for her, never left my mind? After I downed a quart of steer's blood and was able to think clearly, I fell asleep. At dusk, I rose and left Rivers. I had to see Bill. Only he could give me answers, though I wasn't looking forward to returning. I still couldn't believe I'd slugged him. What had come over me? He'd been pushing for me to talk. He'd said not to return until I was ready to accept his help. I was ready to accept help. I just wasn't ready to tell him everything. Somehow, I'd have to make him understand that and agree to help me anyway. I found Bill in his office, his gaze locked on his computer screen. I stood in the open doorway. He looked up at me, his cheek bruised from my punch. Dante, he said calmly. I should apologize, beg his forgiveness. But the thought of begging for anything tasted like bile in my mouth. For 10 years, I'd forced myself not to beg for mercy. I wasn't sure I could ever beg for anything again, even for forgiveness for my 102-year-old grandfather who hadn't deserved my wrath. I opened my mouth, ready to force out the words when he spoke. Are you ready to accept my help? I've always been ready to accept your help. I need your help. I cleared my throat. What are you doing? Research, he said, his gaze back to his computer monitor. On what? He slid his chair around and looked straight into my eyes. I can't talk about it now. Is there something you need? What do you mean you can't talk about it? I mean I can't talk about it. His voice was steady, firm, and commanding. I remembered the tone from when I was a teenager. My father had spoken in a similar pitch when he didn't want to be interrogated. I'd never pushed my father or my grandfather, but I was no longer a teenager. Why are you keeping secrets? Bill stood and removed his glasses. Why are you keeping secrets, Dante? I'm not. I just can't. I bit my lower lip. Try to understand. I do understand. But you don't. You can't possibly. I'd lived nearly 80 years before you came into the world. You have no idea what I've seen, what I've been through. I wasn't buying it. My grandfather hadn't been held captive and violated for 10 years. If he had, I'd know about it. He continued, My ability to help you will be limited if I don't know what you went through. As for what I'm doing, I'm not keeping secrets. I'm saying this is none of your business. I will not talk about it, not until I can. If you can't respect that, you can leave this house at any time. That was the second time he'd told me I could leave his house. You told me I'd always have a home here. Having a home here doesn't mean you get to know everything I'm doing.
It also doesn't give you license to exercise violence toward me. I couldn't argue, but I'd never known Bill to be secretive about anything. Then again, I'd been gone for a long time. Things had clearly changed in the last 10 years. I turned when I heard bustling outside Bill's office. It's River, Bill said. He's off tonight. Perfect. If I couldn't get answers from Bill, maybe I could get some from my cousin. I left the office. Hey, Riv. I walked toward him. Dante, hey. I woke up and you were gone. I figured you'd come back here. You and Bill good now? Were we? I had no idea. Seemed I didn't know my grandfather at all anymore. I guess so. River had also been different since I'd returned. He wasn't distant, as Bill appeared to be, but he seemed obsessed with moving forward on my case and getting whomever had taken me behind bars. I wanted that as well, but I wasn't ready to cooperate yet. Memories tugged at me, and I'd spent so much time out of it that I wasn't sure which ones were true and which weren't. Only one thing was constant. Her. She, who called herself the Queen. Can we talk? I asked. Yeah, sure. Just let me get a drink. He went into the kitchen and came back with two goblets full of blood. He handed one to me. I wasn't thirsty, but I took it anyway. Where's Bill? He asked. In his office. He's not in a talkative mood. Yeah, he's working on some stuff. Do you know what it is? River shook his head. He won't tell me. Won't tell anyone. Not even Em, who usually has him wrapped around her little finger. Can we talk in private? I asked. River drained his glass. Sure. You want to go out to a bar or something? We can hit Bourbon Street. Bourbon Street? The last time I'd hit Bourbon Street, I'd never returned. I stiffened. Hey, sorry. I wasn't thinking. No. I gripped the stem of my goblet, my knuckles whitening. I can't hide forever. I have to figure out what happened to me and why. Maybe Bourbon Street is the key. Lots of shit happens on Bourbon Street, cuz, River said. It's a haven of supernatural activity. You know that. Yeah. Let's go. I downed the liquid in my glass. River ordered a high-end bourbon for both of us. I hadn't had a drink that I knew of in 10 years. Go slow, River cautioned. This stuff is lethal, but damn, it's good. I picked up the heavy lead crystal glass and took a sip. Woodsy and a touch of maple. Delicious. Though it did burn my throat going down. What do you need to talk about, Dante? I took another sip and then cleared my throat. It's a woman, actually. Yeah, Jay's sister, right? Right. How did you know? How could I not know? She smells amazing. Ice chilled my neck as I gripped my glass on the walnut bar, jealousy spearing through me. In an instant, it shattered. Shit. River grabbed a napkin and sopped up the bourbon. Did you cut yourself? The bartender hurried over and swept away the shards of glass. I'll get you another, sir. A drop of blood trickled from the space between my thumb and forefinger. I pinched the area to stop the bleeding. What the hell happened? River said. Vampires were stronger than humans. Not hugely stronger, but enough to make a difference. River had no doubt learned to hide his strength, another of those lifelong lessons I'd missed while the power of my muscles increased during early adulthood. In truth, the thought of River sending Aaron had enraged me. Mine. The thought had consumed me, still consumed me. Aaron is mine. Earth to Dante? River said. The bartender set another glass of bourbon in front of me. I mumbled a quick thanks. Easy now, River eyed me. What's going on? How the fuck should I know? I didn't know I could shatter thick lead crystal with my hand. You can do a lot more than that, River said. Be careful, okay? Sure, I'd be careful. I'd do my best anyway. What else was I capable of? I had no idea. About Aaron, I said. Yeah, what about her? I'm drawn to her. What do you mean? I'm not sure. It's like I can't stay away from her. Like we're destined to be together or something. Not possible. Why not? Because it's bullshit, that's why. Vampires don't have fated mates. Neither do humans. Only the shifters. Shifters? Fuck, how much did I not know? Werewolves, werecats, yeah. Werelions, weretigers, and werebears, oh my. I couldn't help myself. He was off his rocker. What? Of course not. Everyone knows there's only... He set his drink down with a thud. That's right. Your dad never... You really don't know, do you? I could fill a fucking warehouse with everything I don't know. You need to help me, River. Bill won't. Bill's just being cautious. He doesn't know what happened to you. He's not sure you're ready. I thumped my fist on the bar, startling the other customers. Sorry, I said to them. Then to River, I spoke low. It doesn't matter what happened to me. I need to know how to exist in the world I'm in now. How am I supposed to get along without all the knowledge I was supposed to get from my dad after high school? But depending on what... God, River, are you hearing me? I need your help. You're telling me that werewolves are a real thing. Do you know how that fucks with my mind? River eased my glass of bourbon out of my hand. Don't treat me like a child, I demanded. We can talk about shifters later. They're nearly extinct anyway, even more so than we are. You said this had to do with Jay's sister? That you're drawn to her? And I'm telling you that it's just her fragrance. You haven't been around. You haven't become accustomed to the scents around you. Our senses of smell increase tenfold during early adulthood, but you've been gone since then. Look, I know all about her scent. She has the dark hair and fair complexion of a human who is descended from a vampire somewhere up her line. It's an intoxicating smell. It is. Her brother has it, too. Sitting in an unmarked car with him for 8 hours a day isn't the easiest thing in the world, but you can control yourself, Dante. You just need to learn how. You're not hearing me, Riv. It's more than her scent. I fucking ache for her. Maybe you just need to get laid. I curled my fingers into a fist. River hadn't meant to upset me. He didn't know how I'd been aroused and left to stagnate for the last 10 years, and that getting in Aaron's pants wasn't what I needed, even though I wanted it more than anything. If all I needed was a lay, I could get that anywhere. It's more than that. You don't understand. You think I don't understand the need to get laid? He laughed. It's been a while for me, too. No, I don't need to get laid. I need Aaron. I need her body, her blood, her soul. You said it yourself. The key word is blood. It's your blood, Dante. You'll get used to it. You're not hearing me. That's the third time you've said that to me, and I assure you I am hearing you. You will get used to the different scents. Some people will be more enticing than others, but you'll learn to control the urge. We all do. Still, he wasn't getting it. It was more than Aaron's fragrant blood, more than her beautiful body. Something about her pulled at me, something I couldn't put into words. I was 18, Riv. Adulthood had begun, and I already understood the power of the scent of blood. I already knew that vampire DNA coupled with dark hair and fair skin produced a fragrance no vamp could resist. I had smelled it before. I'm telling you, this is something more. I don't want to pry, but were you exposed to a lot of human scents while you were gone? Only two. Her goons, both human. They'd smelled like garbage after a while, their natural scents tainted by my hatred. I didn't respond. Was it possible he was right? That I just wasn't used to all the various scents? No. Even now, all of Aaron, not just her fragrant aroma, invaded my mind. Her eyes, her body, the sweet sound of her voice. What I felt toward Aaron was so much more than being attracted to her scent. You've obviously never experienced what I'm talking about, I said. He regarded me, his right eyebrow raised. He didn't believe me. I'm sure I have. I just recognized it for what it was. You haven't outgrown that stubborn streak. I took a sip of bourbon, draining the glass. I signaled the bartender for another. My mind was starting to fuzz up a little. How many years had gone by since I'd had alcohol? 10, most likely, unless she had given it to me without my knowledge. 10 years. That night. I took a quick sip from my refilled glass and turned back to River. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the scent of her blood. The lie didn't taste so bad in the wake of the bourbon. River didn't get it, so he hadn't experienced it. I'd have to ask Bill, and if he wouldn't talk to me, I'd figure it out on my own. I had to stop the craving, the ache, because if I didn't, I wouldn't stay away from her.
and I had to keep Aaron safe.
Chapter 4 Aaron Bourbon Street, the street where sleep didn't exist. Lucy dragged me into a club, and I found myself smashed between two Adonises, one blonde and one dark, both gorgeous. Didn't do a thing for me. When I was danced out, I hauled Lucy outside the club. "What's the matter with you?" Lucy demanded. "They were totally into you. You probably could have had them both at the same time, which, let me tell you, is amazing." "You've had a threesome?" I asked, surprised. But why would this surprise me? Lucy had probably tried everything. "Several. I had a foursome once, too. And a fivesome, although one of them was another woman. But you're changing the subject. Didn't you think they were good-looking? And if you didn't, we need to talk." I tried to erase the visual of Lucy with three men and a woman. They were magnificent and nothing like Logan. "No shit, they were both the anti-Logan. I thought that was a good thing." "It is." "Then what's your problem?" "Just not in the mood, I guess." "You're nuts! What am I gonna do with you?" "Luce, why don't you go back in and have fun? I'll be fine out here. I'll find a table at a nice quiet cafe." "Quiet? This is Bourbon Street, Aaron." "True enough. Maybe I'll just go home." "No, you won't. I know a good place where there are always a couple spots at the bar." She tugged on my arm. "Come on." We walked to a hole in the wall called Moulin Blanche. I'd never heard of it, but Lucy was right. It was nicely crowded, and sure enough, three stools were available. "Come on." Lucy pulled me toward the empty spots, and my heart lurched. Dante and River sat at the bar. He turned around, his dark eyes wide. "Hi there," I said, willing myself not to stammer.
"What are you doing here?"
"Having a drink. This is my friend Lucy. Lucy, Dante Gabriel." Lucy turned on the charm. "Thrilled to meet you." She turned to River. "And you, I remember. You're Jay's partner." "Guilty." River's lips formed a crooked smile. "Nice to see you again." Lucy went into full flirtation mode. Yeah, she'd be going home with Dante's cousin tonight. So where did that leave me? The last time I'd seen Dante, he'd looked between my legs, held me for a minute, and then went running. Maybe if I closed my eyes, I could harness some of that alleged paranormal activity and conjure up a hole in the wood floor to escape into. "Sit down, Aaron." My eyes shot open. "Are you sure?" Lucy and River were already deep in conversation. She had edged Dante out of his seat so she could sit next to his cousin.
"Yes, please. Sit."
I sat. Didn't think about it again. I'd been compelled to sit as soon as he told me to, but given our short history, I couldn't help asking if he was sure. An empty glass sat in front of him. He signaled to the bartender.
"Another, please. And whatever the lady wants."
"I'll have a martini, dry, extra olives." Might as well go for something strong. Dante appeared to be drinking straight bourbon or scotch, something brown anyway. His thick, dark hair was in disarray, as if he'd been messing with it, and gray circles marred the fair skin under his gorgeous dark eyes. Something was bothering him. That something was probably me. The bartender set my drink in front of me, and I took a long sip. Whoa, martinis were strong, and I hadn't specified vodka. This was gin. Perfect. I took another sip, then another, anything to keep from having to talk. The silence could fill an amphitheater. Until he said,
"I owe you an apology."
For running away at the sight of me? I shook my head and took another drink. Think nothing of it.
It wasn't you.
Oh, of course not. I took a huge swig of my martini for courage. Just my ugly pussy. Yes, I'd just said those words to a man who'd taken over my mind and heart. God help me. He widened his dark eyes but said nothing. Yes, you heard me.
There's nothing ugly about any part of you, Aaron. None of what happened was about you.
One more long drink, draining the martini glass. Yes, liquid courage. Nothing like it.
You threw my date out of my home, and then you yourself went running out after looking at me down there. If it wasn't me, what the hell was it?
No response. He just took a sip of his own drink. I looked toward Lucy, who was sliding her hand across River's forearm. Seemed crystal clear where they were headed. Not so clear for me. I tapped my glass and signaled the barkeep.
Another here, please.
Heck, Lucy had wanted to party. I was ready to party. I'd downed the first so quickly that I was already feeling a little buzz.
So tell me, I said to Dante,
what the hell is wrong with you anyway?
Chapter 5. Dante. What a loaded question. So much was wrong with me that I couldn't even begin to respond. I didn't even know half of what was wrong. I'd lost so much time, and so many of my memories were clouded that I wasn't sure which ones were dreams, rather, nightmares, and which were real. She still thought I was a vandal, and why she hadn't turned me in still puzzled me. She'd gone along with River's lie that first morning. I longed to interrogate her about that, but I didn't dare. What if she changed her mind and decided to turn me in? Reeve might be able to pull some strings, but I didn't want to put him in that position. No, I needed to stay quiet about that and not remind her. Her scent hung thick in the air around me, negating all other aromas in the room. Riv had said I'd get used to it, learn to control my impulses, but her fragrance was so enticing. Did it affect him as well? I looked toward him for a moment, but he looked anything but pulled in by Aaron's scent. Rather, he was enjoying the attention of her friend. I inhaled. I couldn't even distinguish the friend's scent. Only Aaron pervaded my senses, even though the bar was nearly full. River was wrong. This wasn't just an enticing scent that I'd get used to. No, this was something more. So much more. I closed my eyes, willing my cock not to harden, my fangs not to descend. I was successful with my fangs, not with my cock. In my mind, I saw myself taking Aaron to bed, kissing her ruby lips, her pink nipples, her glistening pussy, and then marking her. Erasing those bite marks from her thigh by replacing them with my own. Mine, she was mine. I could take her to bed, fuck her sweet body, touch every part of her with my fingers and my tongue, but that would not make her mine. She would only be mine when I took her blood, when I marked her. Instinctively, I knew this, even though someone else had fed from her. The memory of those marks on her thigh pushed rage into me, and my gums burned. No other man, human or vampire, would touch her, ever. I'd make sure of it. I jerked. Her smooth hand was on mine, and her touch ignited me.
Are you all right? She asked. You haven't spoken for about 10 minutes.
A second empty martini glass sat in front of her. Yeah. Fine. I gulped down the rest of my bourbon in one swallow. It was my third. At least I thought it was. I was feeling interesting. She could be mine. Maybe tonight. Why not go for it? All thoughts of keeping her safe fled as inhibition swept away from me in a current of lust. Do you want to dance? I asked. She looked toward the small dance floor. No one was dancing.
Yeah, sure.
She stood. I took her hand. Sparks flew through me and led her to the floor.
Hey, kids, Lucy laughed. There's no music.
Really? I hadn't noticed. Music floated all around us. Grand concertos mixed with jazzy blues. Just being in Aaron's presence created melodies I'd never imagined. Aaron was wearing a tight black dress that illuminated her fair skin even more than usual and made her peridot eyes sparkle with fire. Her hair hung in subtle waves halfway down her back. She was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I'd seen some amazing women that fateful night. Had been turned on beyond my wildest dreams. Now all that seemed like adolescent fantasy. This was real. I took her in my arms and held her close, resisting the urge to bury my nose in her hair and inhale. I closed my eyes, trying to ignore the tightening in my groin, the tingling in my gums. If I could just hold her, feel her close to me.
But as inhibition eluded me, so did control. My fangs descended, and I lowered my head toward her milky neck. The pulse from her carotid artery thrummed softly against my lips. Next to it, the blood flowing through her jugular to her heart whisked gently to my ears. Arteries were easier to feed from, but veins made less of a mess. The jugular it would be, then. Just a taste. One taste. I let my tongue touch her skin, so soft and silky, so warm with the flow of her blood just millimeters away. Her beautiful pulse thumped gently against my flesh. My eye teeth lengthened, their itching intense. Yes, just one taste. No inhibition. I nicked her warm skin with my left cuspid.
Chapter 6. Aaron.
Ouch! I pulled away from Dante, touching my neck. When I looked at my fingers, they were smeared with blood.
I'm sorry.
He walked briskly back to the bar, grabbed River, and the two of them left. Just like that. Again. He freaking left me again. I rejoined Lucy at the bar.
What was that about? Lucy demanded. Detective Hottie and I were headed for the sack.
He bit me. I rubbed at my neck. I think.
So?
Did Lucy truly think biting was normal behavior on the dance floor?
So, we were dancing. With no music, by the way.
Quit interrupting me. And there was music.
No, there wasn't. Ask anyone in here.
It was a soft, jazzy kind of instrumental thing. It was perfect, actually.
You've had one too many martinis, hun.
She turned toward the bartender.
Hey, barkeep, why isn't there any music in here tonight?
Our sound system is down, he replied. Sorry about that. It should be up tomorrow.
See?
Lucy said to me. I listened. Sure enough, no music. But the tune had been playing while Dante and I were dancing. I was sure of it. Damn, maybe it was the alcohol. It must have been. Two martinis on a pretty empty stomach, and I'd had a glass of wine at the dance club. Still, alcohol didn't usually make me hear things. Not that I remembered, anyway.
Quit changing the subject. Dante bit my neck.
Let me look, Lucy said, examining me.
It looks like a bug bite. Certainly not a human bite. He probably just scraped it and made it bleed.
But I felt something pierce my skin.
You felt him scrape thin skin that was healing.
Go to the bathroom and look at it in the mirror. You'll see.
Listen to me. I'm a nurse, you know.
She chuckled. Ha ha, so am I. I opened my purse and removed a small compact. I had to agree with Lucy. It looked like a bug bite. She was no doubt right. In fact, I'd seen a similar bug bite on my brother when we had breakfast a few days earlier. Mosquitoes, maybe? I didn't recall being bitten, but that wasn't abnormal.
You want another drink?
Lucy asked.
No, I've had enough.
Yeah, I think you have, Lucy said,
since you've been hearing things. But I'm starved, and you cost me my night with Detective Hottie, so you're buying me a late dinner.
I laughed. All right. I'm hungry, too. I need to get something in my stomach. We walked a few blocks down to a little restaurant and edged in for their last seating. I ordered some gumbo and then turned to Lucy.
Did you think Dr. Bonneville was acting weird during our last shift?
What do you mean? After we lost that heart attack, she asked me to have coffee with her. She's never done that before.
Really? What did you talk about?
I took a sip of water, thinking. My mind was fuzzy from the martinis, and for some reason I couldn't remember much about my time with Dr. Bonneville.
Just about how she hated losing patients, that she died a little inside each time.
I think that happens to all of us. It does, of course, but she takes it really hard. I don't get it. She's such a bitch most of the time, but when she loses a patient, she becomes, I don't know, human?
She may be a bitch, but she's a top-notch physician, Lucy said.
I know that. She's just such a riddle, you know?
I wouldn't waste your time overthinking it. She'll be back to her old self the next time we share a shift. Just be happy she showed you a little kindness.
Oh, I am, and trust me, I don't expect her to repeat it.
Good thinking.
The waiter delivered our food, and after a few bites, Lucy spoke again.
So, what was up with River's cousin?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty certain he was drunk, though.
He seems to have a thing for you.
I'm not so sure he does. I hadn't told Lucy about my previous run-ins with Dante. I wasn't real excited about telling my best friend that a guy had run out of my house after seeing my goods.
Are you kidding? He couldn't take his eyes off you. I asked River what was going on with him, but all he said was that Dante had had too much to drink.
See, that's what I told you.
I know, but he had a look about him, Aaron. A look of... the only word that comes to my mind is hunger.
Like you said, he was drunk.
Alcohol didn't cause the look I'm talking about.
His own cousin attributed it to the drinking.
Yeah, but I think River was lying.
Why would you think that?
Just a tell he has. He looked away from me when he said it.
That was a classic tell. Lucy was very intuitive, but she didn't know River well at all. Yet, I had no doubt they'd hook up eventually. When Lucy wanted a guy, she almost always got him.
You know I'm good at reading people, Lucy continued, and I'm telling you, River was lying and Dante was hungry.
Well, he's had more than one chance to satisfy his hunger with me, I said, and he hasn't stuck around for any of them, so he's clearly not that hungry, at least not for me.
Okay, we're definitely going to revisit that subject. I see you've been keeping things from me. But I'm not talking about a hunger for sex, or even a hunger for sex with you.
Then what are you talking about?
I'm not sure, honestly. She took a bite of gumbo. But it's there, believe me.
Something in her voice convinced me. I believed her. I just wasn't sure what I was believing. I rubbed the raw spot on my neck, and tingles shot through me.
Chapter 7. Dante. You've had too much to drink, Rivers said when we returned to Bill's place. That's all it was. That's not true. I couldn't resist her. You saw me. You're telling me there was no music in that bar, but damn it, I heard music. It's the alcohol, Dante. You're not used to it. I shouldn't have let you drink so much. For God's sake, Riv, I'm 28 years old. I don't need my younger cousin to monitor my drinking. Look, I may be younger by a few months, but I've got 10 years on you and life experience. Defensiveness rose within me. That's not my fault. Damn it, Dante, no one said it was your fault. But there are things you're not used to. Like the urge that comes when you scent a dark-haired female with vampire blood, and the effects of alcohol on your system. Has alcohol ever made you hear things? He shook his head. But it affects everyone differently. Auditory hallucinations can happen. How do you know that? I searched it while you were dancing to no music. You freaked me out, Dante. Right. You searched it while you were sitting in a bar. I rolled my eyes. Yes, I did. On my phone. Oh. I kept forgetting that cell phones were now mini-computers. Bill shuffled in wearing lounge pants and no shirt. For 102, he looked great. Still had the musculature of a 40-year-old. How was your night out? Great. Dante drank a little too much. For Christ's sake, Reeve. I didn't need a lecture from Bill. What, you did? You were hearing things. Hearing things? Bill asked. Thanks a lot, Reeve. I'm fine, Bill. What did you hear, Dante? I really don't want to talk about this. Music, River said. He was dancing with a woman to music that wasn't playing. Really? Bill inhaled, his forehead creasing. Interesting. It was the alcohol, River said. Yes, probably, Bill agreed. But I wasn't fooled. Bill didn't think it was the alcohol. Something else was going on, something he'd no doubt refused to tell me. After all, I wasn't ready. When would I be ready? When I told Bill what I'd been through? I wasn't even sure how much of it was real. Much of it was, unfortunately. But I'd had so many nightmares as well. I turned to Bill. Do we have a queen? What? You mean, like the Queen of England? Of course not, he said. That's not what I mean. Do we, vampires, have a queen?
No, Bill said. We are citizens of whatever country we live in. We recognize the government of our country. We have a council of elders who make decisions regarding the texts, but it's not a governing body. You know all of this, Dante. I'm asking historically, Bill. Was there ever a time when our ancestors recognized any kind of royalty? Bill narrowed his eyes. I suppose there is history from long ago that was never recorded. Maybe there was some kind of royal hierarchy at one time, but certainly not now. She was no queen. But what was she, then? She had power from some source, money to hire goons, a hidden dungeon to keep me in. She was something. Why would you ask that? Bill's eyes were still narrowed, his forehead still creased. My grandfather's question was valid, but I couldn't answer. Not yet. There had been times when she'd made me say it, had tortured me so badly that not only would I say she was my queen, I actually believed it. I almost believed that black was white after I'd been beaten, shocked, tortured into submission. And then she drank from me, made me drink from her. I hated it. And Bill wanted me to tell him what had happened. How could I tell him or anyone what I'd let her do to me? Dante? Bill's voice. I jerked out of my thoughts. What? Why are you asking if you know we have no queen? Bill said again. No reason. I think there is a reason. I think it has something to do with where you were for the last 10 years. You need to come clean. Come clean? You make it sound like I was gone because I wanted to be gone. Trust me, that's not the case. I chose the wrong words. I'm sorry. Bill put his hand on my shoulder. I can help you if you let me. Help me? I've asked for your help and you've refused me every time. I have things going on inside me that I can't explain. Rivers says it's because I'm not used to all the scents around me, or he blames it on alcohol, that I'm not used to it. I don't discount either of those explanations. They are probably partially to blame, but I'm telling you there's something more. He's drawn to the scent of a certain female, River volunteered. One that's descended from vamps at some point in her ancestry. I'm familiar with the scent because her brother is my partner. It's a difficult scent to resist, and he's not used to using self-control. Thanks for that, I said with an eye roll. Hey, you wanted his help. Have you told him any of this? Let me ask you, Dante, Bill said. Have you met River's partner, the brother? Briefly. And how does he smell to you? Good, the first time I met him. That night, with the homeless man. But now? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I mean exactly what I said. I don't know. That's my point. When Erin is around, I can't smell anything else. It's like she's the only blood on the planet. In fact, my thoughts churned. Had I even scented another being since I'd met Erin? No, I hadn't. I'd smelled the testosterone and adrenaline in the man from her bedroom, but I hadn't smelled him, his own unique scent. I already told him that vamps don't have fated mates, Rivers said. No, we don't, Bill agreed. Then what's going on with me? Truthfully, Bill rubbed his chin. I don't know, but if you want to figure this out, you need to tell me what happened to you, Dante. You need to tell me everything. Crazy. I'd escaped. The smells had overwhelmed me, every human and animal that had crossed my path, the homeless man from whom I'd stolen money and clothes, Aaron's brother, the detective who'd stopped me that night. I'd smelled him then. He smelled similar to Erin, yet different, so much different. Then I picked up the various scents of the hospital and I'd run, and then Erin, her scent. She was inside me. So much a part of me that my olfactory sense hadn't picked up another since I'd found her. I don't think I've smelled anyone since I met Erin. Really? Bill arched his eyebrows, looking pensive. Why didn't you tell me that? I didn't realize it until just now. And before, when I was trying to make you understand, you kicked me out of your office. And when I tried to talk to you, I turned to River, you couldn't hear what I was saying. When you, your partner, and Erin were all in the same room, all I could smell was Erin. The wrinkles in Bill's forehead became more pronounced. He was concerned. Are you sure? Only since I met her, I mean.
When I first escaped, I could smell everyone and anything around me. But since meeting her, I raked my fingers through my hair. It hadn't occurred to me that I can't smell anyone else's scent. But I can't. I inhaled. Nothing. Has anyone been here recently? The kid down the street came by selling something for school, Bill said. His scent is still in the air. It's young blood, tinny and full of testosterone. I inhaled again. Nothing. I shook my head. Maybe your sense of smell just hasn't evolved, River said, because you've been gone and all. I just told you I smelled everything when I escaped. You're not listening again, River. If you're correct, Dante, and you can't smell anything, of course I'm correct, I interrupted my grandfather. I know if my nose is working or not. All right, Bill said. This is serious. In the past, a vampire needed his sense of smell to protect himself and others. While it's not as necessary today, we still depend on it. She did something to me, I murmured. Who did? Aaron? Bill began pacing the floor. No, not Aaron. The person who took you, Bill said. She was a female, wasn't she? I pulled at my hair. I can't. Can't go there. Dante, Bill said seriously. You have to. River nodded, touching my forearm. Please, Dante. You were taken against your will. If you can't talk to Bill, please talk to me. I'm a detective. I will find whoever did this to you. I promise you. Betrayals grow cold quickly. Please, tell us all you know, and I will put whoever did this to you behind bars.
Chapter 8. Aaron. Whatever this hunger was that Lucy thought she saw in Dante, I couldn't get her to elaborate on it. Instead, she changed the subject, and we spent the remainder of dinner sobering me up. Good plan. The next night in the ER, Steve ran up to me as soon as I arrived.
You'll never guess what happened. Remember that patient, Cynthia North, who went missing from the ER last week?
Yeah, of course.
She's back. She appeared on the 9th floor an hour ago, round 10.
My heart thumped. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's stable in a drug-induced coma. No one knows where she's been or how she got back.
Stable? She was a bleeder. My thoughts raced back to the night she came in. Dr. Thomas had been on duty. She's a bleeder. Had we gotten her stabilized before she disappeared? Why was my memory so fuzzy?
Yeah, I know. It's all pretty freaky. Dr. Thomas and your nerd, Dr. Crown, are with her now, running some tests.
Who's running things down here, then?
They called in the hag, so watch your step.
Just what I didn't need. Though Dr. Bonneville had been nice to me the last time we'd worked together, after we lost the heart attack. The heart attack. I'd grown used to identifying patients by their condition in the ER, but that man wasn't a heart attack. Even though we hadn't known his name, he was a person. I needed to remember that. I didn't yet know if his family had been found, or even if they existed. Poor man. Is Lucy in yet? I asked.
I haven't seen her. Steve checked his pager. Gotta run. The hag needs me.
I wanted to run up to 9 to see the patient who had reappeared, but she was in good hands. She was stable and alive. More than I could say for the heart attack from 2 nights ago. I went into the office, clicked on my computer, and did a quick search. Howard Dern. That was his name. Now he was no longer the heart attack in my mind. Unfortunately, I didn't feel any better knowing his name. He was still dead. My side trip to the computer was the only relaxation I got that night. I did a lot of boo-boo mending, no real emergencies, which was always good. But I did see an old friend, Mr. Lincoln, the homeless man, whose drug panel had come back clean. He came in with a superficial stab wound. I cleaned him up and got him comfortable.
You look familiar, he said.
I took care of you a week or so ago, I said. When you came in unconscious, remember? My name is Aaron.
That's a pretty name. He smiled. Yes, I do remember. You thought I was on drugs.
I said nothing. I still hadn't ruled out the possibility. Labs weren't foolproof.
I don't do drugs, he said.
I'm sure you don't.
You don't believe me, just like you didn't believe me about the vampire.
The vampire?
Yeah, I told you about the vampire I saw that night, asked if you'd seen him.
It sounded vaguely familiar.
Uh-huh, I said absently.
I saw a ghost that night, too.
I stopped myself from rolling my eyes.
I'm sure you did. Are you feeling any pain relief yet?
Not yet.
He winced.
Don't you want to hear about the ghost?
Sure, I said, listening with one ear. Since I'd moved to New Orleans, I'd heard every ghost story in the book, but I hadn't yet seen any evidence of phantom activity, though I did get goosebumps walking around certain parts of the city. Come to think of it, I'd had goosebumps while I was at Dante's grandfather's house, a known haunted location. I'd just chalked it up to being close to Dante. Until he'd kicked me out, that was.
It was a different kind of ghost,
Mr. Lincoln said. What do you mean?
It was a vampire ghost.
Chills erupted on the back of my neck. Oh?
Yeah, he was helping the vampire I saw. He protected the vampire from the cop.
I see. If the man wasn't on drugs, he was a few bricks shy.
The vampire stole my clothes and what little money I had. That's why I came in that night without clothes, remember?
I do. That was a visual I couldn't unsee. Mr. Lincoln was a nice man, but homelessness had taken its toll on his body. A young man of 25 or so should have been robust and healthy. Instead, Mr. Lincoln was too thin, and red patches marred much of his skin.
He hypnotized me.
What?
The vampire. That's how they feed on humans. They hypnotize you so you don't remember.
He truly was off his rocker. I see.
Do you?
What was I supposed to say to that? I had nothing, so I asked a question instead. If you were hypnotized, how did you know a ghost was there?
I could still see. I just couldn't talk or move. I remember everything. Maybe that's because I don't usually get hypnotized. I just let them bite me. They don't take much, and they always buy me a hot meal afterward. It's a good deal.
He touched his neck.
See? These marks, that's where they bite me.
I looked him over, palpating the marks. Mosquito bites, most likely, just like the one I had on my own neck. Just how many vampires live here in New Orleans, Mr. Lincoln? Might as well humor him. It would help him take his mind off the minor stabbing.
We're friends, aren't we, Aaron? You should call me Abe.
No kidding. Your name is Abe Lincoln? Definitely not ruling out drugs.
It is.
Do you have any ID?
Nope, but that's the name my mammal gave me.
Your mother was French?
Yes, Cecile Lincoln, born Gervais, and about 200 or so.
200 or so what?
Vampires. You asked me how many vampires live here in New Orleans.
Right, I had.
That's a lot of vampires. Not really, when you consider the population of the city is almost 400,000.
He had me there. Did a vampire stab you?
No. Most vampires are decent people. It was some stupid kid looking for drugs. I didn't have any, but he stabbed me anyway.
I'm very sorry this happened to you. And I was. The man might be delusional, but he didn't deserve this shitty luck. No one did.
It's part of life on the streets.
Don't you have any family who could help you out?
Nope.
Have you tried the missions? I can get a social worker in here to talk to you. I'm sure there's help available.
I'm fine. I'm comfortable unless it gets below 40 degrees, which it doesn't often, luckily.
Even at night?
That's when the vampires help me. They come out at night.
Because they'd burn in the sun, right? He shook his head.
That's a myth. They just have really sensitive skin and need to wear a lot of sunblock.
I see. So do I, actually.
Yeah, you're pretty pale.
Thanks, I think.
I didn't mean it as an insult, Aaron. You're very pretty.
This conversation was rapidly going way out of my comfort zone. The pain meds will kick in soon, Mr. Lincoln. No way was I calling him Abe. I need to see some other patients.
Wait.
Yes?
You need to believe me.
Why? You asked me that first night if I'd seen the vampire, but you allegedly saw the vampire before you came to the hospital. I wasn't with you then, so how in the world could I have seen him?
Because he was here, in the emergency room.
Again, my neck went cold. I need to see other patients, I said again. I walked out of the room and hightailed it to my computer to make a note for a social worker to visit with Mr. Lincoln.
The man needed some serious help. I jerked when a hand clamped down on my shoulder. I need you for a few minutes, Aaron.
Chapter 9. Dante. The Queen says you've been obstinate and need to be punished. My heart sped up like a freight train. I've done nothing. You haven't been eating. I'm not hungry. You need to eat your protein, red meat. We feed you excellent meals. What good are excellent meals when I'm tied down? I can't even take a shit without you unbinding me. The Queen's orders. Fuck the Queen. You won't say that again, you piece of shit. Fuck her, fuck her, fuck her, I spat. The masked man inched toward me. I've been warned not to spill a drop of your precious blood. Luckily, I'm skilled at many levels of torture, and your blood will be spared. What are you going to do to me? I said through clenched teeth. I'll leave that to your imagination, he said, his voice low. Anticipation and all that. I was already naked. They'd taken my clothes away. He unclamped my bindings. Stand up, he ordered. Why doesn't the Queen dole out her own punishment? You'd have to ask her that, he said. But it works out well for me. I enjoy it. Fucking sadist. I lunged toward him, but he poked me with a cattle prod. Ugh! The jolt shot knives of pain through my body, making me tremble. You're a pretty young man, Dante. A young vampire on the cusp of true maturity. Too bad I can't really fuck you up. It's almost a shame to hurt you. Then don't, my voice cracked, sparks still snapping inside me. I have my orders, and as I said, I enjoy it. He eyed his tool, a sick smile curving his lips. Funny thing about electricity. As long as I gauge the current, I can cause you unbearable pain without harming your body at all. I shot up in bed. Bill was in his study, and River had gone to work. I hadn't told them anything, even though Bill had pressured me. River wanted the truth for a different reason, to investigate, to find who'd done this to me. He was still skeptical that something different was going on with my scenting of Aaron, but Bill believed me. I could tell by how he'd looked at me. But he was a little freaked out. He didn't know why it was happening. That bothered him. Bill didn't like not knowing. I rose, drank some blood, and made some breakfast, and then decided to search the vampire texts. Bill had two copies, one he kept in his office, and another more ornate version that he kept in the living room. As kids, we'd been warned not to touch it. I was no longer a kid. I picked up the heavy tome, sat down on the couch, and opened it. To no avail. The words were written in ancient French, and I couldn't decipher them. Could anyone, in this day and age? I'd need to find a linguist I could trust. Yeah, right. Linguists were a dime a dozen. Not. Bill was 102 years old. Still, ancient French hadn't been spoken since the 14th century. I wasn't sure how I knew that. Must have learned it in history class a long time ago. My grandfather was the only person I knew who might be able to make some sense of the texts. I put the book away and walked to his office. Come in, Dante, he said before I could knock. I entered, trying to figure out what I wanted to ask. The vampire texts, he said. You learn the important content at the age of 18, after you complete your high school studies. This was the third time since I'd returned that he'd read my mind. I wasn't at all comfortable with it. He'd always been intuitive, but this was getting beyond strange. I'm well past 18. Can you teach me? It's not that simple. The content of the texts is taught through symbolry and example. So, you taught River and M, didn't you? I did, but they were ready. I am ready. You're not, he said. Why do you constantly say that? I demanded. You have no idea what happened to me. Then it dawned on me again. I hadn't said those words aloud. Stop it. Stop getting into my head. I'm not. Bullshit. You've been reading my mind since I got home. He looked up, his eyes wide, and removed his glasses. You're mistaken. I don't have that ability. He cleared his throat.
His tone was familiar, the same one I remembered from my childhood. We are done discussing this. Drop it. But I was no longer a child. Bill was hiding something. Either he'd been reading my mind or he knew things he should have no way of knowing, which meant he had a way of knowing. I just didn't know what it was. All of that was the least of my concerns at the moment, though. I needed to learn the content of the texts, and I'd find a way to do it with or without my grandfather's help. I had no other choice. I had to figure out what was going on with Aaron. The answer must be within those pages somewhere. It had to be. I turned to leave Bill's office. A knife of ice speared into the back of my neck, and I gasped, "Dante?" But I ignored my grandfather's voice. "Aaron. Aaron was in danger." I screeched into the hospital parking lot. I was a good driver, but my license had long since expired. Something else I'd have to take care of. Aaron sent. She was in the hospital. Someone was with her. Someone who meant her harm. I wasn't sure how I knew, but I did. I smelled only Aaron, but she was not alone. My gums prickled as my fangs descended. I needed to keep my mouth closed. No way did I have enough control to make them retract. Not right now. Not when my blood was boiling beneath my skin. And then, the other individual was gone. The prickling on my neck ceased. My teeth began to shorten. Aaron was fine. No longer in danger. I stopped in the middle of the driveway to the ER and stood, immobile. Aaron was inside. Aaron, who I wanted more than my next breath of air, my next drop of blood. I continued standing as an ambulance blared up to the door, stopping just before hitting me. "Hey!" An EMT rushed over to me. "Get out of the way, you could have been killed!" Still I stood, my gaze riveted to the door of the ER, until something buzzed against my skin. My new phone. It was River. "Hello?" I said. "Dante, you need to come over to the ER. It's Amelia." My heart raced. "I'm at the ER. Is she all right?" "We're at Tulane. Where are you?" "At university. I'm on my way." My sister lay in a hospital bed in one of the ER exam rooms. I felt helpless, helpless in a different way than I'd felt when I'd perceived Aaron in danger. How'd I made such a mistake? Aaron was fine. Could I no longer trust my instinct? Aaron had wreaked havoc on my senses, and not necessarily in a good way. I'd been sure another person had been with her, hurting her. My mind was unstable. That was the only explanation. Being held in captivity, tortured, violated. It had taken its toll. Of course it had. I needed help. I didn't know any vampire therapists, and how could I explain to a human therapist what I'd been through? River and Bill sat in chairs next to the bed where Amelia lay. I took her hand. "Doing okay, little sis?"
"I'm fine. I guess I fainted at work."
"You've been working too hard, Em," River said.
"I haven't been doing anything more than I always do. I'm not sure what's going on."
"I can answer that." A man in a white coat walked into the room. "Could you all excuse me for a few minutes? I need to talk to the patient alone."
"Their family,"
Amelia said.
"I want them here."
"Are you sure?"
"Of course I'm sure. What could you possibly have to say that I wouldn't want them to hear? Please, go ahead."
"You're pregnant."
Chapter 10. Aaron. Dr. Bonneville had wanted me to stop at the Tulane ER on my way home and make arrangements to replenish our B-positive blood from their stash. I'd asked why we couldn't just email them, but she'd been clear that the blood would arrive faster if a staff member made the request in person. Since it meant I got off an hour early, I didn't complain. As soon as I got out of my car at the Tulane parking lot, something gripped me. A pull, a tug, and then pinpricks erupted on my flesh. I must have been more freaked out from Abe Lincoln's vampire tales than I realized. I took a few deep breaths and walked toward the entrance. "May I help you?" the receptionist asked. "I'm Erin Hamilton, a nurse from University ER. Dr. Sabrina Bonneville asked that I come over and make arrangements to get some B-positive blood transferred to our blood bank. We got shorted on our last delivery, according to her, and apparently you have more than enough here to help us out in the meantime." "You'll need to speak to our admin about that, and she's not in yet." I looked at my watch, 7 a.m. "When does she get in?" 8 o'clock. I didn't feel like waiting around for nearly an hour, but I didn't have much of a choice. I guess I'll wait.
Can you point me toward the cafeteria? I'm starving.
Sure. Follow the hallway to the main hospital. You can't miss it.
Thanks.
I turned and a gasp left my throat. Walking toward me as if in slow motion was Dante Gabriel. I perked my ears. No music this time, just Dante in all his male glory. Dante, who I'd last seen when he left the dance floor and then the bar abruptly. He had a habit of leaving me in limbo. He walked toward me quickly.
I knew you were here.
You did?
What are you doing here?
An errand for one of the doctors. Looks like I'm stuck here for an hour. Why are you here? Are you okay?
My sister.
Is she okay?
Sort of. I mean, yes. She's pregnant.
Oh, well, congratulations then. I didn't know she was married.
She's not.
Oh. Warmth crept up my cheeks. Congratulations anyway. That's wonderful news, isn't it?
She's always wanted to be a mother.
Good. I'm sure she'll be a great one.
I hope so. I mean, I hope she has the chance.
What are you... He grabbed my arm and led me out of the ER and down a secluded hallway. He pushed me against the wall.
I've tried to stay away from you, Aaron. God, I've tried for your own good, but I can't stop thinking about you.
My skin tingled all over, and my blood flowed like tiny rivers of warm honey in my veins. I can't stop thinking about you either. But why? His lips clamped onto mine. I didn't even think about letting him in. I parted my lips on instinct, letting him sweep his warm tongue into my mouth. Never mind that he'd run from me twice now. Never mind that I still knew next to nothing about him. Never mind that my first contact with him had been catching him in a criminal act. I wanted him. Wanted his mouth on mine, his hands on my body. I cupped his cheeks and pulled his face as close to mine as I could until our lips were smashed together, our tongues tangling. We kissed ferociously until I had to push him away to take a much-needed breath.
My God,
he groaned. My God is right, I replied.
I want you so fucking much.
You have a funny way of showing it.
That kiss, can't you tell how much I want you?
He nudged his bulge into my belly. Yes, but you always... He took my lips again. Would we ever talk? Ever discuss why he was acting so weird? Right now, I didn't care. All I wanted for the rest of my life was to keep kissing Dante, keep caressing his broad shoulders, his cheeks, his neck. I threaded my fingers through his silky hair, relishing its softness. I slid my other hand over his shoulder and down his muscular arm, entwining his fingers with my own. He pushed his erection into me farther. Without thinking, I whisked my hand out of his and cupped the denim-clad bulge.
Oh, God!
He groaned again against my mouth.
I want you so much.
I want you too. No truer words. I was ready to fuck him right in a hospital hallway. He deepened the kiss, cupping one of my breasts. My nipple was already hard, but the feeling intensified as he inched his fingers toward it. When he pinched it, I nearly climaxed. I boiled over, my pussy pulsing along with my heart. He dragged his hand away from my breast and down to my crotch. When he began rubbing me there, I let out a long, low groan.
Good, baby.
God, yes, so good. But I couldn't form the words.
Do you want me as much as I want you?
Still no words, but I nodded against him. He pushed me harder against the wall.
I want to make you come.
I held on to him, fearing my legs wouldn't hold me up. Not in here. Not in... The last words came out only as a sigh.
Please, Aaron. I know I've left you hanging. I know you don't understand why. I want you so much. Want you to feel good.
Then footsteps. He broke away.
Dante.
His cousin River walked toward us.
There you are. I need to talk to you. Pronto.
Chapter 11. Dante. Aaron looked up at me, her green eyes glowing, her lips swollen and red from our kisses. River would know what we'd been doing. I didn't fucking care. The jolt from his interruption had taken care of my teeth, but not my cock. It was still hard in my jeans. I let go of Aaron, only to grab her again as she started falling. You okay?
She nodded but gripped my forearm, the heat from her grasp transfusing into my skin. Her blood, it was close to the surface of her palm and fingertips. I drew in a deep, calming breath. Riv, you remember Aaron?
Yeah, nice to see you again.
He turned back to me. I'm really sorry to interrupt. I mean, really sorry, but this is important. Aaron cleared her throat, her cheeks red with embarrassment.
I have to get back to the ER anyway. The administrator I came to see should be in soon.
She let go of my arm and walked away, her gait slightly unsteady. What was she doing here? River asked. Is that why you ran out of M's room? Shit. I had made like a jackrabbit as soon as the doctor said M was pregnant. I'd smelled Aaron, felt her presence, needed to see her. What must my sister be thinking? How long have I been gone? About 25 minutes? I'd been making out with Aaron for 25 minutes. Time was truly suspended when I was with her. I inhaled. Her scent still clung to the air. My mind was muddled. What did you want again?
I know who the father is.
Huh? Amelia wouldn't tell us, but I know, Dante. I shook my head to clear it. Aaron's fragrance still hung inside my nose, nearly debilitating me. She wouldn't tell you? Said it was none of my fucking business, and that she was having the baby, damn it. Okay, okay. I rubbed at my forehead. That sounded like the M I remembered from when we were teens. Now what? She refuses to terminate the pregnancy. Now I understood. Our mother had died giving birth to Amelia, and full vampire women were rare. Wait. Begin again. She wouldn't tell me who the father is, but I know who it is. Em has had a strangely familiar smell to me for a few weeks now, but I chalked it up to her hormones or whatever. Plus, she hadn't been feeling well. But when the doctor said she was pregnant, I knew right away who the father is. Don't keep me in suspense. My partner, Jay Hamilton. Aaron's brother. Whoa. My head spun with haze. What? What the hell is the matter with you, Dante? I was awash in Aaron, unable to form a clear thought. But I had to. I willed myself back into my right mind. I'm fine, so tell me again. Jay Hamilton is the father of M's baby. How could that be? Either she had herself artificially inseminated with his sperm, Rivers said, or more likely they slept together. She's so young. She's 25, Dante, not 15 like she was when you left. My ire awakened. Stop saying that. Saying what? That I left. You make it sound like I had a fucking choice in the matter. If I'd had it my way, I never would have gone. I'd have been here, learning all the shit that you already know, that M already knows. I'm severely handicapped solely because I was taken against my will. Look, I know you've been through a lot. You don't have half a fucking clue what I've been through. I've been through things you can't even imagine with your tiny little mind. Tiny little mind? River advanced toward me. Who do you think you're talking to? My guard went up. Quick as a flash, I grabbed River by his collar and flattened him against the wall, fangs elongating. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I've had things done to me that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, and you say you know what I've been through. You don't know shit. I'd take your fucking head off. Hey, calm down. Calm down. He slowly moved his arm upward until his hand was over mine. Let go of me. I unclenched my fist and moved away from him. Self-control. I didn't have it. Not even slightly. If I couldn't control myself around River, how would I ever control myself with Aaron? I'm sorry, I said grimly, though my fangs didn't withdraw. You're right, River said. I can't imagine what you've been through. I'm sorry. Trick of the trade. As a cop, I have to turn off my emotions in the line of duty a lot. If I didn't, I couldn't live with what I see sometimes. It's fallen onto you, cuz, and I'm really, really sorry. I opened my mouth, but he held up his hand. Let me be sorry, Dante. I've been a douche. I get that you're not ready to talk yet. Maybe you'll never be ready. That's okay. Even though I'd love to lock up whatever fucker did this to you. But this is about M, and about my partner. M is determined to have his baby. I closed my eyes and inhaled, giving myself a few seconds. Then, she'll be okay. Amelia is strong. She has to be. I can't lose her now that I just got her back. We'll get her the best care, River said.
She won't even talk about terminating. It'd be one thing if she were married and had been trying to get pregnant, but that's not the case. This is just an unfortunate accident.
It wasn't an accident if she had herself inseminated. River didn't respond.
What about your partner? Does he want the baby?
My partner has never mentioned M to me. Either he donated anonymously to a sperm bank or he fucked your sister. Which do you think is more likely?
My hackles rose. Now that I was in my right mind again, reality had hit me over the head with a mallet. Those teeth were never going to retract now.
Call your partner. Tell him to meet us here so I can kill the motherfucker.
I think you mean sister fucker.
Not funny. I clenched my hands into fists. Why does she want to have the baby?
I don't know, River said. But Amelia is strong-willed. Maybe you can talk to her. Convince her that the timing isn't right. I hate the idea as much as you do, but I'm scared of losing her, man.
I can't do that.
Absolutely not. I'd had my own will stolen for 10 years. I would not try to make a decision for my sister, especially a decision I wasn't sure was the right one, even if it would guarantee she'd live.
I won't do that. She's strong. She'll make it.
Your mother was strong, too. So was mine.
An image of my mother popped into my mind. She was dark, with blue eyes.
Em looked a lot like her, while I favored my father. She was beautiful, but I had no real memories of her. I'd been 3 when she passed. My father had cared for us then, and Em, being a newborn, had taken most of his attention away from me. That was when I had begun to rely more on Bill.
Yes, they were. Bill has money. We'll get Em the best care out there.
Yeah, okay. Rivers sighed.
You're right. I'm just scared shitless.
Me too. I inhaled. Aaron's scent still hung in the air, though it was dissipating. Amelia was fine for now. River was fine. I was not fine. I'd promised Aaron an orgasm, and I hadn't delivered. I still didn't trust myself with her, but I had to be near her, had to feel her.
Hey, I've got to go.
Where are you?
I walked away from River and toward my heart's desire.
Chapter 12. Aaron. I'd been lightheaded all through my meeting with the Tulane ER administrator, but fortunately I was able to get the job done. I headed straight home for a quick breakfast and some shut-eye. Dante never left my mind. His kisses were unlike any kisses I'd ever experienced. They both excited me and subdued me, gave to me and took from me, fueled me with passion and desire as well as agony, in a good way. What I'd have given to have that orgasm he promised me, if only River hadn't interrupted us. I'd never be able to look my brother's partner in the eye again. Once I'd eaten an English muffin and some granola, I yawned and headed upstairs for a hot bath. Yep, a nice fizzy bath bomb scented with lavender sounded heavenly. I started running water in my tub, got out of my clothes, and threw them in the hamper. Then I tossed in the fragrant bath bomb and inhaled. If that couldn't make me relax, nothing could. I stepped into the hot water and immersed myself. Closing my eyes, I inhaled again, letting the tranquilizing fragrance soothe all of my senses. I've never seen anything more beautiful. My eyes shot open. I knew that voice, the voice from my dreams. Dante stood next to my tub, his dark eyes full of fire. I rushed to cover myself with bubbles until I realized I hadn't used bubble bath. Oh well, he was going to see me naked eventually. At least I'd hoped so. Emotion coursed through me, not fear, though that would have made more sense. He'd never harmed me, and I had no reason to believe he would now. No, this was a deeper emotion, lust, desire, passion, pure, raw need. How did you get in here?
You left your door unlocked again.
No, I didn't. I couldn't have. I remembered locking it, didn't I? I'd been so lightheaded after my necking session with Dante. Had I forgotten? I had to stop doing that. My neighborhood was pretty safe, but still, not smart, especially if, as Abe Lincoln swore, ghosts and vampires walked the streets of New Orleans. The thought made me smile. He was a nice enough young man, but so delusional. Abe Lincoln couldn't possibly be his real name. What do you want?
You.
I'm kind of in the middle of something here. Then I need to get some sleep. I work again tonight.
I won't touch you.
You just said you wanted me.
I do, but I won't touch you. I can't.
Why not?
Because I can't. Can we leave it at that?
No, we can't leave it at that. It doesn't make any sense. First you're all over me, and then you take off. How many times has that happened now, Dante? How many times am I supposed to put up with it?
No response.
Aren't you going to answer me?
I can't. You're naked in a tub. You're wet and naked. How am I supposed to concentrate on anything but that?
For God's sake.
I stood and stepped out of the tub, brushing past Dante, and wrapped myself in a large brown towel.
Get out.
No.
Tell him again. Tell him to leave, to get out. But the words wouldn't form on my vocal cords. Instead, other words crystallized. Stay, please stay. Make love to me. Take what you need from me, anything you need. I had to choke them back to keep them from spewing out of me.
That towel makes your eyes so green, he said.
I opened my mouth but shut it quickly. God, the man was beautiful. His wavy dark hair sat on his shoulders, and his big espresso eyes were heavily lashed and full of fire. His dick was hard. The bulge in his jeans was apparent. He looked so different from the first time I'd laid eyes on him only a short time ago. He'd been beautiful then, but now... Please, tie me up. Blindfold me. Whip me. Where had those words come from? Luckily, I kept from voicing them. But though I stopped my words, I couldn't stop my body. I walked toward him and dropped my towel.
What do you want from me? I asked.
I want you to touch me, Aaron. Please.
I reached upward and cupped one of his cheeks, his stubble growth prickly against my palm. He closed his eyes.
Your touch ignites something in me, something I've never known. I can feel the blood beneath your fingertips, the warmth.
His words were oddly arousing. I caressed his cheek, marveling at his beauty.
And your scent,
he continued.
I can't get enough of it.
It's just a lavender bath bomb. I inhaled. Then I smashed my naked body against him, as if he were a magnet and I were a giant paperclip. His arms did not go around me. He was holding to his promise not to touch me, but I didn't know why.
Touch me, please, Dante. I need your touch. I yearn for it.
I can't, love, no matter how much I want to.
I moved slightly away from him, far enough that I could look into his gorgeous eyes.
Why not?
Someday, I hope I can tell you. I hope I can share all that I am with you. But I can't right now. Not today.
Please, you can trust me.
Yes, I think I can.
He smiled.
I feel that I can.
Then why not now?
Chapter 13. Dante. How I wanted to respond. Wanted to divulge to her every secret I held. But I couldn't risk it. Not when even I didn't understand so much of it. I'd vowed to protect her from me. Being here was in itself a violation of that promise, but I had to have what I could offer her. I had to let her touch me. I needed that much, at least. If I didn't touch her consciously, I could keep the bloodlust at bay. At least, that's what I told myself. It was something I recalled hearing long ago, before I'd been taken. I couldn't recall the source, but it had to be true, didn't it? Just touch me. Please, Aaron. Run your fingers over every inch of my body. Let me feel your touch, your caress.
I don't understand.
I know, and I'm sorry. She pulled back, releasing me.
That's not what I mean. I mean, I don't understand why moving away from you is so difficult. It's like I'm meant to be near you.
So she felt it too.
Yet you tell me you won't touch me. You've left me so many times after touching me, it's as if something about me repulses you.
I closed my eyes, envisioning the bite marks on Aaron's supple inner thigh. Had I actually been repulsed? My heart sped. Not repulsed by Aaron, but yes, the bite marks, someone else's bite marks on her beautiful body had repulsed me, angered me.
Made me go mad with a lust to eliminate whoever had marred her, whoever had taken blood that was mine. I hadn't been able to protect her from whoever was feeding on her, hadn't been able to protect what was mine. I opened my eyes and gazed into hers. I had no business being here, not when I couldn't protect her from the world. I could at least protect her from me. I need to leave. I pushed her away. She shook her head, letting out a huff.
You're really going to do this again, aren't you? You're going to get me all hot and bothered and then leave me. Fine, two can play at this game. If you leave me now, don't come near me again, Dante. I mean it.
Her words fueled something in me, a compulsion I couldn't control. She stood against the closed door of her bathroom, her hands splayed against the wood, as if she were trying to keep herself from flying back into my arms. Yes, she felt something. She felt the same pull I did. She said the words, told me to leave. But she didn't mean them. Tell me what you want, Aaron. Tell me what you want me to do to you. She closed her eyes.
Get out, now. Don't ever come near me again.
That's not what you really want.
It is. It truly is.
I advanced toward her and cupped both her cheeks, reneging on my vow not to touch her. The bursting of her capillaries awoke the hunger in me even more. I consciously tamped it down. Open your eyes. Look at me. To my surprise, she obeyed, her light green eyes glazed with desire. I wish I could make you understand. I wish I understood myself what I'm feeling. I wish... My lust took over, and I crushed my mouth to hers. We kissed for a few precious moments, until she broke the kiss with a loud smack.
You asked me what I want. I want you to take me to my bed. I want you to use that gorgeous body of yours to give me pleasure, every single dirty pleasure you can think of. I want your tongue in my mouth, on my nipples, in my pussy. I want you to bring me to orgasm like you promised earlier, and then I want to bring you to orgasm. I want to feel your body shiver as you climax into me. I want you, Dante. I want you to make love to me.
My loins ignited. I was already hard, but now the zing in my gums began. I squeezed my eyes shut, willing my fangs not to elongate. Please, please let me be with her just this once. Let me know what she feels like against my body. I won't take her blood. I will control myself. Please. But my teeth had a mind of their own. They grew, and my need for her blood ached within me. I'd known coming here was a mistake, but I hadn't been able to stop myself. The drive inside me, the pull, had overtaken me. I turned away from her so she wouldn't see my teeth. I need to go. But she launched herself at me, both of us landing on the hard tile floor of her bathroom, she on top of me. My lust was so overpowering I felt no pain from the fall.
No,
she said, her voice lower than usual.
You're not leaving. Not until you give me what I want, what you came here for.
She ripped open my shirt, and buttons went pinging against the glass doors of her shower. She gazed at my chest, sliding her fingers over my shoulders, my pectorals, my nipples, which were already hardened.
You're amazing,
she said, her voice a husky rasp.
I've never seen a man so magnificent.
I kept my lips shut. My fangs were still elongated, and I couldn't risk her seeing them.
You're going to shut up, she said. You're not going to say a fucking word. No more crap about leaving. No more crap about how I won't understand. You're going to keep mum while I get rid of your clothes and give you the fuck of your life, Dante. Got it?
I nodded. Keeping my mouth closed was a necessity, though she had no way of knowing that. I'd keep my will strong, hold myself in check, let her take what she wanted from me. I owed her that much. She lowered her head and brushed a soft kiss against my chest. Shivers ran through my body. God, the heat of her lips, the blood flowing to them, the need to consume her clawed at me. But still I kept my mouth shut. Couldn't let her see what the bloodlust had brought me to.
Your skin is so soft, Dante. So soft and fair. Yet your muscles are hard underneath. You're amazing.
She trailed her lips over the indentation of my clavicle, tracing tiny circles with her tongue. My erection was granite inside my jeans, and every part of me itched to take control, to stand and throw her down on the tile floor, unzip my pants, free my aching cock, and drive it into her. And then, that beautiful jugular at her neck, pulsing with a life force within her. I drink from her, draw strength from her, become one with her. My lips began to part, but I pressed them together. Must be strong. Must be strong. She slid her tongue over one nipple. I shuddered. How could that feel so good? I'd been tortured there, made to... God, can't go there right now. I had no right to be here, no right. Oh, God. The words tumbled from my mouth despite my vow to keep my lips closed. She fiddled with a snap to my jeans and then unzipped them, grasping my erection. Aaron, please.
Shh. You're not allowed to speak, remember?
Yes. I didn't like taking orders, but for now it was just as well. If she looked closely, she'd see part of my guarded secret. Couldn't let that happen. Couldn't. I sucked in a sharp breath when she edged my jeans and underwear over my hips and released my swollen cock. I expected her to tease it, maybe suck on it, something I'd never experienced, something nothing could have prepared me for. Instead, she held a condom. Where had that come from? And ripped open the foil wrapper. She slid it over my cock with her lips. Being covered felt odd, smothering almost, but the slow and erotic movement of her full lips pushing the rubber onto me. I closed my eyes and sucked in a breath. I'd come at any moment now. I'd disappoint her. I balled my hands into fists, gritted my teeth, anything to hold on to my waning control. I didn't want the condom, didn't want any barriers between us, but I understood her need for assurance. In truth, we barely knew each other. She was being sensible, and I was committed to keeping her safe. I would never harm her. The need to shield her from any potential threat rose within me with savage ferocity. But nothing could override my urge, my drive, my lust to be part of her. I wanted her to slide onto me so badly, to take me to a place where I could forget everything I'd been through, everything I'd let happen. Then she grasped my cock, her naked body hovering over me.
Now, I'm going to take what I want. Now, I'm going to take what I want.
But it wasn't Aaron's voice. I looked up, and it was her, masked face above me, her fangs protruding as she ground against me, forcing my untried body into an unwanted state of arousal. My body tensed, my fangs shrank, but only for a moment. I squeezed my eyes shut, balling my hands into fists and straining against my bindings. No!
I love it when you struggle, she said, her voice laced with venom. It's all the better for me. Makes your blood taste even sweeter.
She lowered her lips to my neck. No, you can't. I won't let you.
Chapter 14. Aaron.
No. Dante pushed me away, and I tumbled onto the floor, nearly hitting my head on the corner of the countertop. No! He yelled again, pulling off the condom and replacing his jeans around his hips.
You can't. I won't let you.
His shirt hanging open, he stumbled out of my bathroom. Shocked and dazed, I stood to go after him. What had gone wrong this time? He couldn't leave. I couldn't allow it. I needed him inside me. Not just in my body, but in my very soul. I walked, lightheaded, out of the bathroom and into my bedroom. He was gone. Still naked, I headed down the stairs. Dante! Nothing. He was gone, just like that, quick as a bolt of lightning. He was gone. My body throbbed with unsated desire, and my legs itched, aching to go after him. No, that was the last time I'd allow this to happen. Never again would he run from me. I walked slowly to the door, my heart stampeding in my chest, and locked it. Yes, I locked it. This time I committed the turning of the deadbolt to my memory. I locked the damn door. I walked to the kitchen, poured myself a large glass of ice water, and downed it, attempting to cool myself off. Didn't work. Didn't matter. I had to get to bed. I had work tonight. When I reached the ER at 11 p.m., I was pleased to see that Dr. Thomas was on duty. I couldn't deal with Dr. Bonneville tonight. I'd slept fitfully, visions of Dante invading my dreams. My brother met me at the entrance. What are you doing here? I asked.
River's inside talking to Cynthia North. She's conscious.
Oh, that's great. What do you know so far?
She has no memory of anything after being shot. She was agitated, and she seemed to be responding better to River, so I let him take the lead. I figured I'd just wait out here. It's a nice night.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't enjoy it. I'm due on my shift.
I know. I won't keep you.
Why don't you come inside? Steve can make you one of his famous lattes.
Steve's not on tonight.
Oh, suit yourself then. I walked into the ER.
Erin, there you are.
Dr. Thomas motioned to me.
Lucy's not in yet, and Dale and Renee both called in sick. I need you to take some blood for labs for the patient in exam room 4. She's got symptoms of the flu.
Yes, doctor. I placed a surgical mask over my face. I'd had a flu shot, of course, but I wasn't too excited about exposing myself to the nasty virus. Flu shots were no guarantee against infection, but this was what they paid me for. I grabbed the chart off the door and entered the examination room. Hi there. I scanned the chart. Ms. Moore. So you're not feeling too great, huh? The older woman shook her head.
It's Mrs. Moore, dear. And no, I'm afraid I'm not.
Unfortunately, the flu flocked to the elderly due to their decreased immune systems. You're 90 years old?
Yes. Been around the block a few times.
Congratulations on living such a long life. I smiled.
It's not all it's cracked up to be. I've buried a husband and a son. But I get along.
I'm sorry for your loss, ma'am. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take some blood. I'll try not to hurt you too much.
Poke away. It won't be the first time, and God willing, it won't be the last.
I'm sure it won't be, I said, hoping I wasn't telling a huge lie. The flu could ravage a 90-year-old woman, although Mrs. Moore appeared to be in decent shape for her age. I tied the rubber banding above her elbow. Can you make a fist for me? She needn't have bothered. The veins in her arms stuck out like tiny blue streams, and her skin was so fragile it was translucent. I hated to stick a needle into someone so old. I did it as quickly as possible. She didn't even flinch.
I had the best physician when I was younger, she was saying as she watched the blood fill up the crystal tube. I believe her daughter must work here.
Oh?
Yes, when I was being wheeled back here to the exam room, I passed the photos of the doctors on the wall. There was a photo of a woman who could be my doctor's twin, except she had blonde hair. My doctor was a brunette.
Really? I removed the first tube and inserted the second.
Yes, she had the most interesting name, too, like Sarah, but she spelled it with a Z. Such a gifted doctor. I've always wondered what happened to her.
I stiffened a bit, forcing my eyes not to widen. Sarah with a Z, like Sabrina with a Z? Was her last name Bonneville?
No, but her last name was also French. I think it began with an L, Legrand or La Grande. I can't remember. Maybe La Grandes? It was so long ago and my memory isn't what it used to be.
We have a Sabrina Bonneville here, like Sabrina with a Z. She has blonde hair.
Maybe that's whose photo I saw. I don't know. It couldn't have been my doctor. She'd be in her 70s by now.
What did you see her for? I asked.
She was my general practitioner. She saw our whole family for a while, but she was really good with my second son, Carlos. He had a blood disorder. We never did find out exactly what was wrong with him, but Dr. Zara, that's what we called her, found a treatment that kept him in remission when no other physician could. Unfortunately, Carlos died in a car accident when he was only 24, but I have no doubt that he would have lived a long and healthy life thanks to her.
I'm so sorry for your loss. The words came out mechanically, though I didn't mean for them to. I'd said them so many times as part of my work that I felt they no longer had meaning, but I always meant them in my heart. Words were so useless sometimes.
Carlos is in a better place,
Mrs. Moore said, and then launched into a coughing fit, sputtering and wheezing. Let me see if the doctor will let me give you a breathing treatment, ma'am, I said. Please excuse me for a minute. I got the necessary permission from Dr. Thomas and prepared a nebulizer. Then I headed back into room 2. Mrs. Moore had fallen asleep. Poor thing. I prepared the treatment and placed the mask over her face and started the treatment. Then, oh God, her lips were tinged with blue. My nerves jumped. Lack of oxygen. I felt her neck for a pulse.
It was weak, but it was there. Code blue, I yelled. Dr. Thomas came running, along with Dr. Crown. Status, Logan said. Patient is 90 years old. I went to get permission for a neb treatment, came back, and now her pulse is faint. Lips and nail beds show signs of cyanosis. She's still breathing. Get some oxygen ready, Dr. Thomas said. Stat, then hook her up to the EKG. I prepared the tank and got the tubes hooked up to Mrs. Moore's nose. Logan cut her blouse down the middle, and I hooked up the EKG.
Pulse rate is below 40, Logan said. Bradycardia.
Then the dreaded shrill buzz.
Flatlining, Logan yelled. Prepare the paddles, Aaron.
Logan and Dr. Thomas tried for several minutes to jumpstart Mrs. Moore's heart while I watched, white noise permeating my ears. Time of death, 12:24 a.m., Dr. Thomas said. I bit my lower lip. Mrs. Moore was 90 years old. She'd lived long, had lost a son, a husband. The flu would have ravaged her body and might have killed her in the end. Perhaps this was a blessing. How I wished I believed all of that bullshit. It never got any easier. I arched my eyebrows at Dr. Thomas and she nodded, so I left the exam room. I didn't cry over patients, not anymore, but I always needed a moment after losing one. Dr. Thomas understood that. Even Dr. Bonneville understood that. I slumped against the wall in the hallway and let out a heavy sigh. Logan walked up to me.
Hey, you okay?
Logan and I hadn't talked about what had happened, or rather, what hadn't happened between us. Why a maniac had chased him out of my home after I'd thrown myself at him. But that didn't matter at the moment. As healthcare providers, we understood each other in this situation. We were in the middle of a conversation. She was alert, lucid. Then she started coughing, and I only left the room for a moment to prepare a neb. She was 90, Aaron. I know, it's just that...
Hey,
it's okay. Then the tears came. I buried my head in Logan's smock and cried. Why? I never cried over patients. But this one had been special. I didn't know how or why, but in the marrow of my bones, I felt it. Mrs. Moore had something to tell me, something I'd never know now.
Chapter 15. Dante. Bill was in his office as usual. I knocked. Come in, Dante. I entered, images swirling in my mind. I opened my mouth, but words did not come. Are you ready? He asked. I sat down in a leather chair across from his desk. Yes. Good, he said. I'm working on having some portions of the texts translated, and when you're... No. I held up my hand. I mean, yes, I'm ready to learn the texts, but I'm also ready to... Yes? I inhaled deeply. I had to talk. Had to tell someone what had happened to me, at least the parts I could remember. Bill was the logical choice. I scanned his office. On his wall hung a photo of him when he was a young father. Next to him was Marceline, my grandmother, who died before I was born. They each held one of their twin sons. Uncle Braden sat on Bill's lap, while my grandmother held my father, Julian. Next to that photo hung an older photo of Bill as a child with my great-grandfather. His mother had died in childbirth. I shuddered inwardly, trying not to think of Amelia suffering the same fate. Photos of River, M, and me as kids were scattered here and there. River and I could have passed for twins when we were toddlers. We'd gone everywhere together, had been inseparable. Up until that night 10 years ago. I cleared my throat. I don't remember what happened. Riv and I sneaked out of the French Quarter. Yes, I know. He came back. You didn't. His memories began when he got back here and he was badly burned. He said the two of you drank a lot. Yeah. We gave money to a homeless guy to buy us liquor. We let him keep the change. Yes, that's what River says. We drank this bottle of vodka really fast, and things get pretty fuzzy after that. What's the next thing you remember? Waking up in a dark room. I was lying down and I couldn't move. I didn't realize it at first, but my ankles and wrists were bound. Was anyone else there? I closed my eyes. No, not at first. I don't think so. Darkness. Were my eyes open? Throb. Throb.
My head pulsed in time with my heart, each beat like a jackhammer inside my skull. Even my teeth hurt. I willfully forced my eyes open. Still, darkness. I was dying. That had to be it. My head would explode any minute now. Throb, throb, throb. I held up my hand in front of my face. Couldn't see it. Wait, was it there? Had it moved? I pulled against resistance. My hand. Couldn't move my hand. My skin went cold as my heart sped up. What was happening? Help! Someone help me, please! My nerves skittered beneath my skin as raw fear pulsed through me. My hands, my legs, couldn't move. I'm dying, please! Someone help me! Help! Help! Dad, help me! My voice was hoarse, raspy, and it hurt to yell. Couldn't see. So dark. Even my acute vampire vision couldn't decipher anything. Then a sliver of light. A door opened. Who are you? I yelled. Why am I here? I couldn't see. I didn't know why at the time. I always thought vampires could see in the dark. We can, unless there's nothing to see. Yes. Yes. Memories rolled back into me, memories I'd wished to forget. It was a dark, empty room, and I was on my back. Couldn't move, nothing to see but the ceiling, and I couldn't even see that. What do you remember next? My head hurt, worse than ever. I swear I thought I'd die from the sharp pounding. You were hungover? Maybe. I was sure it was something else. I couldn't move, couldn't see, everything hurt. My head, my arms, my neck, my legs, my teeth. My fucking teeth hurt, Bill. You could have been drugged. Rohypnol, most likely. Rohypnol. Commonly referred to as the date rape drug. Someone might have dropped it in your drink. Because River doesn't have any memory of getting home, we think he was roofied, too. Roofied? That's what they call it on the street. Think hard, Dante. Do you remember seeing anything unusual that night, before you woke up? It was Mardi Gras. Everyone was masked. Yeah, that's what River said. It's been 10 years. Why would I know anything more than what River has already told you? I'm just trying to help you, Dante. I know, I'm sorry. But I don't remember anyone unusual. I mean, everyone was unusual. Women had been flashing their tits to get beads. Riv and I hadn't been able to stop ogling them. I'd been erect the whole damned time. I'd thought I was in heaven. God, how stupid. Heaven didn't exist, but hell sure did. I'd experienced it firsthand. What's the last thing you remember before you woke up? Bill asked. I squeezed my eyes shut again. Tits. Tits everywhere. Someone handed me a drink. Someone with tits. And a mask, and very fair skin. A woman, I said. I remember now. She was topless. She gave me a drink. All right. She had very fair skin and searing blue eyes. My insides turned to ice. Oh my God. She was a vampire, Bill.
Chapter 16. Aaron.
What? I sat across from Lucy at breakfast after work, hoping I hadn't heard her right. I'm going out with Detective Hottie tonight, she said again. I scoffed. Good luck. Thanks, I think. If he's anything like his cousin, don't expect to get very far. What happened now?
I didn't feel like rehashing the previous morning. It was too humiliating. Suffice it to say, I'm done with him. Words were words and nothing else. Even after saying them, I knew if I saw Dante again, I'd feel that same uncontrollable pull. The answer? Never see him again. Which would be difficult if my best friend started dating his cousin, not to mention his cousin being partners with my brother. All I could do was hope that Lucy fucked River and got him out of her system, and that Jay got reassigned. Hey, I said, remembering Mrs. Moore, do you know if Dr. Bonneville's mother was also a doctor?
I have no idea. Why?
I filled her in on my conversation with Mrs. Moore.
It's possible, Lucy said, and then she chuckled. The Z names are interesting.
but somehow I never really thought of her as having a mother. I just assumed she was conceived out of pure evil.
I joined her in laughter. True, but she does take losing a patient very hard, so she must have some shred of humanity left in her.
That just means she cares more about the dead than the living. It's her ego. She couldn't save the patient, so she takes it hard. It has nothing to do with the actual loss of human life.
I never thought of it that way. I took a sip of my decaf. She is a brilliant physician, though.
Genius has nothing to do with kindness. Sometimes the more scientifically brilliant a person is, the more lack of regard he has for what's truly important.
I swallowed a bite of English muffin.
Maybe, but Dr. Thomas is intelligent too, and she's a great person. Dr. Thomas is an excellent doctor, but I wouldn't put her at Bitchville's level. That woman must have an IQ of 160 or above.
Yeah, you're right, I said. I just like Thomas so much better, so I prefer to think she's just as gifted. At least she understands bedside manner. That's nearly as important as aptitude when it comes to being a good physician, or nurse, for that matter.
And she treats her colleagues with respect. Lucy agreed.
Hey, can you do me a favor? I asked.
Sure.
When you go out with River, can you get the scoop on Cynthia North?
I can try, but why don't you just ask Jay?
I intend to, but Jay said she was responding better to River, so we left him alone with her last night. I'd like to get his take on the whole thing.
I'll ask, but why are you so interested? She's back and she's recovering. She's no worse for the wear, but anyone can see.
She was taken from our hospital, I said.
And returned unharmed.
True, and I'm thankful for that. But doesn't it bother you that she just disappeared for a few days?
Of course it bothers me, but I have enough to worry about.
So did I. But something niggled at me. Just as I felt Mrs. Moore had had important information for me, I now felt Cynthia North did too. The question was, what was it? Work the next night was quiet, so I decided to visit the blood bank. That was where I'd first laid eyes on Dante, and though I wanted more than anything to forget him, I couldn't. So I'd try to figure out exactly what it was about him that called to me. He was gorgeous, no doubt, but I'd felt the pull the first time I'd seen him, looking like a maniac with blood on his hands and face, not something that would normally entice me, no matter how physically attractive the person was. I walked in, rubbing my arms against the chill. Of course the bank was immaculate, nothing like it had looked when I'd found Dante vandalizing it. Why would a person vandalize a blood bank? Why would a person even seek out a blood bank and mistake it for a regular refrigerator? I shook my head. I had no idea. Nope, nothing to be learned here. I turned to leave when I noticed one of the shelves was empty. No B-positive blood. B-positive was the type Dr. Bonneville had sent me to Tulane to order. It must not have arrived yet. Odd. She'd sent me personally for that very reason to get it here quickly. Oh well, no worries. The B-neg shelf was full, and B-neg would suffice for anyone who was type B-pos. I walked back up to the ER. Dr. Anderson was on duty tonight, and he kept to himself unless he needed help. Some docs were like that. They didn't trust the nursing staff. Fine with me. I could catch up with paperwork. But first, a look at the news. What? I said aloud when I saw the first headline. Apparently, the woman who disappeared from the free clinic around the same time that our patient had disappeared had been returned as well, also in a drug-induced coma. That is that, I said aloud, standing. I checked in with Dr. Anderson and got permission to leave a few minutes before my shift ended. Attending physicians did their rounds early in the morning, so Cynthia North would be awake. She and I were going to have a talk.
Chapter 17. Dante. Good morning, you piece of shit. The masked servant, I didn't know his name, but he was the more odious of the two, glared at me and then moved his gaze to my cock, licking his lips lasciviously. It's torture time. I'd love to put a vice clamp on you here, but unfortunately, the queen forbids it. A shame. Though I hated her, I couldn't help but feel a tiny sliver of gratitude. This sadist wouldn't touch my cock, thank God. She likes you to look pretty. Too bad. I really want to use my whip and watch that perfect skin crack open. Watch your fucking blood drip everywhere.
Can't waste the blood, though. I closed my eyes and tried to zone out, tried to stop hearing his evil voice. Tried, but... My eyes shot open to see a silver clamp pinching my right nipple. Sharp pain lanced into my flesh, as if the nipple had been ripped off my body. Hurts. Yes, that's good. Scream for me. I clamped my mouth shut. I would not scream again. Wouldn't give him the satisfaction. I kept that vow. Time and time again. Are you sure she was a vampire? Maybe just a human with fair skin? It was the eyes. She was the queen. Her. The one who'd fed from me and had me tortured. Forced me to drink her blood. She had been there that night, had been the one to drug me and take me. I'm sure. Anything else? I let out a long breath. Not that I remember. The next thing I recall is waking up in the dark room, not being able to move. God. I pushed my hair out of my face. How did I survive? You survived because you're strong, Dante. You're descended from a long line of strong and resilient vampires. The Gabriel line is known for both its physical and mental strength. There were times when I wanted to die. But you didn't. No, I didn't. Sometimes the pain was so bad I didn't think I could possibly live through it. But you did. I did. And after that last time, I hadn't given my torturer the satisfaction of ever hearing me scream again. How long after you got there was it before someone came to you? I honestly don't know. Time didn't seem to exist in that place. I didn't see natural light the entire time I was there. Did they feed you? Yes, eventually. 3 meals a day, lots of water. Good. So, whoever had you didn't take you with the intention of killing you. That's clear, since you lasted 10 years there. Does our family have any... enemies in the vampire world? Bill shook his head. There are so few of us left. Millennia ago, when we lived in clans, we were probably friends with some clans and enemies with others, but no written history's been kept of any of that. I sighed. What do you recall next? I was in pain. My head was pounding for what seemed like days, and my stomach. I was hungry, thirsty. Just when I thought I might die from thirst, someone entered. Who? One of the 2 servants who fed me and tortured me. I could smell them. They weren't vampires. They were human. The scent rose up in my memory. No human smelled bad to a vampire, but by the end, all I smelled when either of them entered was rotten fish. The scent of evil. I see. Interesting. Were they male? Yes. Human males, human sadists. I mean real sadists. This wasn't for sexual gratification, this was because they enjoyed inflicting pain. I closed my eyes, humiliation rising within me. I rubbed my arms against a sudden chill. Dante? I opened them. I'm all right. It's just... embarrassing. You had no control over what happened to you. There's no reason for you to feel embarrassed. Yeah? Tell that to my brain. I can't help it. I'm a Gabriel vampire. I should have been able to fight them off. You were 18 years old, and I was 28 by the time I escaped. I should have been able to escape way sooner than that. Something kept you strong, Dante. Your blood. You mean her blood, I said quietly. No, I mean your blood. Your father's blood. My blood. My father's blood. It all flows within your veins. He cocked his head. Wait. What do you mean? Her blood.
Chapter 18. Aaron.
I wish I could tell you more, but I just can't, Cynthia North said. I've already told the police that I don't remember anything.
Do you remember being shot at all? She's a bleeder. Dr. Thomas's words when Cynthia North had been wheeled in by the EMTs, the words that had sent me down to the blood bank for Oneg, the words that had sent me to Dante.
No, just that bitch coming at me.
I panicked, and then nothing. Cynthia had apparently gotten over the agitation Jay had witnessed, because her demeanor with me was good. Her complexion was rosy. She'd been transfused before going to the OR for surgery, the surgery she never made it to. She looked and sounded remarkably healthy for someone who'd been near death only a little over a week ago. Wherever she had been, she had received excellent care. How do you feel, Ms. North?
Cynthia, please. I feel good, actually. I'd really love to get out of here.
That's up to your doctors. Who's been working with you?
Dr. Leonard Brown, mostly. Oh, and another has been by a few times. A woman, Dr. Bonneville.
Dr. Sabrina Bonneville? She's an emergency room physician.
Really? She told me she was a hematologist.
A blood doctor? Maybe. Her residency could have been in hematology. Maybe she switched to emergency medicine later. I'd have to check. Are you having any blood problems?
She just took some of my blood, wanted to rule out a few things.
Have you heard back on those tests?
Yes, I'm fine, apparently.
That's good to hear. I patted her hand. Thank you for your time, Ms. Cynthia. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And if you could put in a good word for me with either of my doctors, I'd appreciate it, you know, to get me out of here sooner.
She smiled. I'll do what I can. I thanked her again and left her room, leaving her door open. I got home with renewed energy. The shift had gone well, even if I hadn't gleaned much information from Cynthia North. A night that kept me busy but resulted in no fatalities or even a critical condition was a good night. I fixed myself a quick breakfast and pulled out my laptop. Time to do a little research on Dr. Sabrina Bonneville. She was a hematologist now?
She was really good with my second son, Carlos. He had a blood disorder.
Maybe Dr. Bonneville wasn't a blood doctor, but her apparent doppelganger, Dr. Zara, had been. I searched furiously for an hour. What I found astounded me, or rather, what I didn't find. Dr. Bonneville had not published any articles in medical journals, nor had Dr. Zara. I checked all three surnames Mrs. Moore had given me. If Dr. Zara had truly come up with some kind of protocol to keep Mrs. Moore's son alive, why hadn't she written about it, documented it? Dr. Bonneville was also known for her brilliance as a diagnostician. Lucy had talked about her ego. Wouldn't her ego demand that she publish her findings? Where had she gone to medical school, done her residency, any fellowships? I couldn't find any documentation. On the internet, Sabrina Bonneville didn't seem to exist. Not possible. She'd been hired at university, so she clearly had credentials. Why they weren't documented anywhere online was more than a puzzle, though. I'd never questioned her ability as a physician. She was top-notch. It was her personality that drove all of us in the ER crazy. I'd attack this from a different angle. Mrs. Moore's son. She'd said his name was Carlos. Mrs. Moore had been 90 when she died, and she'd said Carlos had died in a car accident at 24. She'd also said Carlos was her second son. If she'd given birth to him between 25 and 30, I was looking at around 40 years ago. The internet hadn't existed 40 years ago. Still, I might be able to find something. Many newspapers had already moved all their old microfilms and microfiches to the internet. It was worth a look. Carlos Moore was a more common name than I'd thought. I found a writer and an attorney in the area with that name, but the name did not come up in any automobile accidents within the time frame I was researching. They could very well have been living somewhere else. I was truly looking for a needle in a haystack. I was about to give up when something caught my eye at the bottom of my search screen. Carlos and Moore showed up separately in an article about an automobile accident during the correct time frame. What the heck? I clicked. Three people are confirmed dead after a horrific four-vehicle crash on Gayaso Street on January 9. A station wagon driven by Mark Strahan, 38, plowed into a sedan driven by 24-year-old Carlos Mendez, son of Juan and Irene Mendez, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Strahan was rushed to Tulane Hospital and is in critical condition. His blood alcohol level indicated he was intoxicated while driving. Two pedestrians, both minors, were killed when the vehicle, driven by Mendez, was pushed into them during the accident. The miner's parents asked that their names not be released. This is yet another accident clearly caused by drunk driving, an OPD officer Joseph Moore stated. 3 innocent lives have been lost due to one person's inebriation. Let this be a wake-up call to all drivers who get behind the wheel after drinking. Strahan, if he survives, will most likely be charged with vehicular manslaughter. The age was correct. What was Mrs. Moore's first name? Had it been Irene? Perhaps she had remarried. I'd check tomorrow at work. Then a flash bolted into my brain. Why hadn't I thought of this before? Mrs. Moore had said she'd buried a husband. Maybe Mr. Moore was her second husband and Juan Mendez had been her first. Mrs. Moore had said Carlos was her second son. Her first son was most likely still alive and her next of kin. He would have been notified of her death. He could tell me everything I needed to know.
Chapter 19. Dante. Despite my fuzzy mind, still I resisted her blood, my cheek burning from where her goon had hit me. No! She turned down her lips into a pout.
And after all I've done for you.
All you've done for me? Are you kidding? You're keeping me here against my will. You're taking my blood.
And I'm about to give you my own.
We can't drink from each other. Everyone knows that.
Oh, that's what you've been told. There are some negative side effects that can be treated. Not all effects are negative. My blood will give your body the ability to stay strong while you're my captive.
I pulled against my bindings, gritting my teeth. The wounds on my neck itched from closing up. Already they were healing.
Open your mouth, Dante.
I squeezed my lips and eyes shut.
Open his mouth again, she commanded to the men, and make sure it stays open this time.
I opened my eyes, though I had no desire to watch what she was forcing me to do. One of the servants attached a metal clamp to my mouth, forcing my lips into an O, while the other held my head still. She held her wrist over my mouth, and I watched in horror as her blood poured into me. Couldn't move, couldn't... No, no, no! Her blood burned my tongue, took with it my skin. Then as it clawed its way down my throat, it left an acidic trail. Soon my reflexes forced me to swallow against my will.
Yes, she said. Now you are truly a part of me. You will learn to take my blood by puncturing my flesh, as I puncture yours. You can never escape me now, Dante. Never.
The vampire who held me captive was a female. Bill rubbed his forehead. I'd gathered as much from our previous conversations. Was it the same one who fed you drugs that night? Yes, she was masked, but it had to be her. And when you were in captivity? Masked. They were all masked. Do you remember the color of her eyes? Blue. What about her hair? In the beginning it was dark, nearly black. Then she began covering it up. She came to me not only masked, but with a, I don't know, a turban or something on her head. All right. Any identifying characteristics other than her eyes and hair? It was dark a lot of the time when she came to me. And you drank from her? She forced me to. Side effects? My muscles stayed strong. They didn't atrophy. She said that was due to her blood. What about side effects for her? I have no idea. I hope she had major side effects, but she told me she wouldn't, and that I wouldn't. That she had learned how to combat the side effects of feeding on vampire blood. Interesting. Bill rubbed his forehead. Interesting? I was spilling my guts here, my humiliation, and all he had to say was interesting? I stood. I'm done here. What? You can't leave yet. I can. I thought you cared, Bill, but all you're interested in is answers. You don't want to help me. Of course I want to help you. Then don't make me relive all this shit. I walked to the door and then looked over my shoulder. I've told you a lot. What can you do to help me? Based on what I know so far?
I don't know. He bent over his desk. I huffed. That's what I figured. I'll need to do some research. There's a lot going on here that neither of us understands. Just teach me what I need to know, or get me the translation of the texts. I turned and left the office. Bill was holding something back. He wasn't himself. I'd suspected it since I'd returned. But now I felt it in my bones. Bill was different. I had to find out why. It was mid-morning. I applied sunblock to my face and neck and left Bill's house. I needed to find a place of my own. Maybe I could stay with River for a while. Maybe my cousin and I could handle all this shit between the two of us. Forget learning it from Bill. I didn't want him getting any more into my head anyway. River could just tell me what he knew. It was daytime and River would be off duty. I headed toward his place. But found myself at Aaron's place instead, as if an invisible force had guided me. I closed my eyes and turned her doorknob, already knowing what I would find. Unlocked. Again.
Chapter 20. Aaron. What? I jerked my head up. I'd fallen asleep at my table, my cheek on the keys of my laptop. My gaze flew to the doorknob. It was turning. Shit! Had I truly forgotten to lock my door again? What the hell was wrong with me? I froze. Oddly, though, not fear, but anticipation coursed through me. When Dante opened the door and appeared in my entryway, my skin warmed. My mind dueled with my soul. Never again! But God, I wanted him. I inhaled and let it out slowly. What do you want, Dante? Why is your door unlocked again? None of your business. I had no answer anyway.
You're not safe if you don't lock your door.
Not when people like you don't bother to knock. Besides, it's broad daylight, Dante.
It's nighttime for you, isn't it?
I was working. Notice my computer?
I also noticed that your face seemed to be smashed into it.
I rubbed my cheek. Sure enough, little grooves from the keyboard. He didn't miss a beat. So, what are you doing here? Why bother coming here at all when you're just going to run off again? He didn't respond, just stared at me with his dark and smoky eyes. I inhaled. I could already smell my arousal, just being near him. This had to stop. I stood and backed toward the kitchen. I don't know why you're here, but you're no longer welcome in my home. Please leave. He took a step forward. I'm not kidding, Dante. I'll call the police. I'll have you arrested.
You didn't have me arrested the first night we met, and you had every right to.
He had me there. I wouldn't call the police. I wouldn't have him arrested. The urge to protect him speared me in the gut. What was I feeling? He was gorgeous, yes, but what I was feeling went far beyond physical attraction. I hardly knew him, yet the pull was undeniable. Even now, I felt an invisible cord urging me forward, and I inched toward him.
I shouldn't have come here,
he said. I forced my feet to remain still. Then why did you? He shook his head.
I'd tell you if I knew.
I had no idea what he was feeling. I only knew what was in my own heart. No, my heart wasn't involved yet. I'd been in love before, and what I felt for Dante was different. Different, yet just as strong, maybe even stronger. It was physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. He hadn't stolen my heart. He'd stolen my soul. And I had no idea how or why. I balled my hands into fists. Stop doing this to me, Aaron. I held out my hand in a stopping motion. Don't come any nearer. Just don't. He ignored me, stalking toward me. Soon, we were inches apart. His breath drifted over my forehead like a spring breeze.
I can't help it, he said. I ache for you.
I closed my eyes, inhaling his masculine scent. Gah, I ache for you too. Then I opened my eyes. But I can't do this anymore. You get me worked up and then you leave. For God's sake, what am I supposed to think? You ran away after spreading my legs. He closed his eyes then.
I'm trying. God. I have to protect you, Aaron.
From what?
From.
He opened his eyes and stared straight into mine.
Someone is.
He raked his fingers through his hair. Someone. Fuck, I can't do this. I grabbed his arm then, tingles shooting through my fingers at the contact. Can't do what? Can't do what, Dante? Fuck, he said again, and then he grabbed me and kissed me. I tried to keep my lips closed. Truly, I did. But something within me overruled my brain. Not my heart, but my soul ruled me when Dante was near. And my soul wanted to kiss him. It was hardly a tender kiss. It was raw, untamed, full of fire, passion, and something else I couldn't quite pinpoint. Didn't matter. It was necessary. Necessary for both of us. For him as well as for me. I could feel all of that in this kiss. He broke the kiss suddenly. I can't stop this time, Aaron. Good, I said huskily, moving my mouth back to his. No, wait. He moved backward. God, not again. I'm serious. I'm not stopping this time. You're stopping right now. Jesus, Dante. There's no going back after this, Aaron. My mind flooded with lust. I had no idea what he was talking about. And at that moment, I didn't give a damn. All I wanted was his lips on mine, his dick inside me. And damn it, I would have it. No going back? That was fine with me. Do you understand me? He said. Yeah, whatever. No going back. I get it. But Dante, we haven't gone anywhere yet. Nowhere. We've kissed a few times, done some petting, danced to strange music that apparently wasn't there. Wait. He grabbed my shoulders. That night at the bar. You heard music? Well, no. I mean, obviously it must have been coming from outside or something. Lucy swears there was no music in the bar and the bartender corroborated it. I'd had a lot to drink. What kind of music did you hear, Aaron? What kind? A soft, jazzy kind of thing, I guess. He rubbed his chin. I don't believe it. It's okay. No one else believes me either. That's not what I mean. I do believe you heard it, Aaron. I believe you because I heard it too. I widened my eyes. What? I heard the music. As clear as a church bell on Sunday. And River said the same thing. There was no music. Whatever. Who cares? Would you please kiss me again? He moved closer. I want you more than anything. Do it. I won't stop you. I opened my mouth and leaned into him. He brushed his lips against mine in a soft kiss and then backed away. Oh, hell no. You're not leaving. I have to. I'm so sorry, Aaron. I swear to God, if you leave me now, I'll never let you through my door again. You don't know what you're getting into. I'm not who you think I am. Honestly, Dante, right now, I don't care. I only care about getting you into my bed. I laughed. Do you think this is something I do lightly? That I sleep around? I don't. I've had one serious relationship in my life, and then you can count on one hand the men I've slept with. Then who has been? He shook his head. Never mind. What? Who has been what?
Chapter 21. Dante. Feeding on you. I cursed inwardly. Why couldn't vampires smell other vampires? Not that I could smell anyone but Aaron anyway. What had happened to me? The marks on her inner thigh had been unmistakable. Someone had fed on her. My cock was hard, harder than it had ever been. In my limited experience, I knew I should assume this was just the adolescent me who'd never had a chance to experiment, to learn how to be with a woman. But it was more. In my soul, I knew it was more. Aaron Hamilton had awoken something in me, something no one could have prepared me for, even if I'd been around for the last 10 years. I wanted to possess her. I ached for completion with Aaron. Now. I crushed my lips into hers and drank from her. My gums tingled and my fangs ached to descend. I didn't care. I was so consumed by lust that I didn't fight my physiology, didn't worry about nicking her tongue or the inside of her mouth. Nothing mattered, nothing except kissing Aaron, devouring Aaron, making Aaron mine. The act would nearly complete what was already real. She was mine, had always been mine, had been born for me. River said fated mates didn't exist for vampires.
He'd been wrong. We swirled our tongues together, kissed with passion and desire. I let my tongue flow over every millimeter of her mouth, tasting every crevice of her, passion fruit and mint, musky cinnamon and clove, and the flavor that was uniquely Erin. The flavor that would be magnified 100-fold when I finally tasted her blood. I would do so soon. I broke the kiss and inhaled deeply, as if I'd been underwater for too long. I scooped her into my arms and carried her upstairs to her bedroom. No stopping, no going back. This time, no matter how many bite marks I found, no matter how much my fangs ached to descend and sink into her flesh, no matter how much I longed to protect her, none of that would stop me today. I set her down so we were both standing next to her bed, and I grabbed her dark ponytail, pulling it downward to expose her neck. I inhaled, sweet, succulent Erin. Then I eyed her closely. Only one small mark, and it had come from me that night on the dance floor. That night when she and I had heard a concert inaudible to the rest of the universe. The jazzy blues played faintly now, as I regarded the woman who was mine. Do you hear it, Erin?
Hear what?
She mumbled, her eyes glassy. The music. She looked at me, her eyes glazed over.
I think I do. Where is it coming from, Dante?
I smiled. I honestly don't know. But I know I hear it as sure as I know the sun will rise tomorrow. I brushed my lips gently over hers. I want to make love to you, Erin. I need to make love to you.
For us to make love, Dante, you have to actually stay until the act is complete.
She giggled. I'll stay this time. I promise. I meant those words from the depths of my soul. I had to be with her, to join with her. I lowered my head and kissed her lips, parting them with my tongue. When something buzzed against my leg, Erin pulled away.
I think you just got a text or something.
The buzz was a text message? I was still getting used to the constant phone stuff. I don't care.
You have to check.
No, I don't.
I'm an ER nurse, Dante. You always check. What if it's an emergency? You said your sister's pregnant.
She sighed. She was right, of course. I pulled my phone out of my pocket. The text was from River. Come to Bill's right away. Important. God, Erin was right. It had to be M. I'm sorry, I said. I have to leave. She laughed aloud.
Chapter 22 Erin. Left alone again with my pussy throbbing and my nipples hard. I had only myself to blame this time. I was the one who'd insisted he look at his phone. In my line of work, you didn't ignore your phone, ever. I undressed and opened my dresser to get out some clean underwear when my hand hit something hard at the back of the drawer. I pushed away the clothes. Oh my God, a vibrator. I'd forgotten all about it. Lucy had given it to me as a gag on my last birthday. I'd never used it, though I hadn't eliminated the possibility. I'd taken it out of its original box and buried it in my underwear drawer, thinking I might need it someday. Maybe today was the day. The thing was huge. Lucy would never purchase anything average-sized. Dante was huge, as far as I could tell from what I'd felt under his jeans. This tool would most likely be an excellent substitute. I shed my clothes and lay down on my cool cotton comforter. This was all new to me, but I was so ripe. I smoothed my fingers over my labia. God, yes, I was wet. So damned wet. Wet enough to take the phallic wonder right then. But I didn't. Not yet. First, I played with my nipples a little, pinching and twisting them, imagining Dante's firm lips tugging on them. Imagining his soft hair tickling them as he tortured me in the best way. Then I trailed one hand over my abdomen to my clit. It was swollen and hard, and after a few strokes, I was ready for Dante's big cock. With one hand still playing with a nipple, I plunged the vibrator into my pussy. Erin! God, Erin! I closed my eyes as Dante hovered above me, thrusting in and out of me, the sweat from his brow dripping onto my face. Thrust, thrust, thrust. Dante, I screamed. Oh my God, Dante. The orgasm ripped through me with the force of a hurricane, and still he thrust into me harder and harder, taking me, branding me, making me his. Until the contraction slowed, and I opened my eyes. And I stopped the in-and-out motion, the motion of my own hand. It had been good, no denying that. But even with my vivid imagination, it hadn't equaled Dante, not Dante's lips, not Dante's cock. It hadn't given me the pure release I craved, and I hadn't heard music.
Chapter 23. Dante. I rushed into Bill's house. Where are you? What's wrong? Is Em okay? River came out from the kitchen carrying two glasses of blood. He handed me one. Em's fine. Then what's the big emergency? No emergency. I just said it was important. I drained the glass of blood. It sated my immediate thirst, but not the lust for Aaron's blood. I was in the middle of something important, Riv. Oh, sorry, but this really is important. My muddled mind couldn't imagine what might be more important than finally making love with Aaron. Fine. What is it? First, I want you to know that I'm here for you. I'll help you in any way I can. Yeah, great, thanks. That couldn't have waited. That's not why we need you here. Bill found something that might explain what's going on with you, why your sense of smell isn't working correctly. Can we do anything about that? I don't know. He didn't tell me much yet. Said he was waiting for you. I'm willing to try anything. I need my nose, Riv. More than ever now that I had to protect Aaron. I know you do. He looked at his watch. It's getting close to dinner time and I have a date tonight, so... A date? With whom? That nurse from the bar, Lucy Cyrus. Man, is she hot. Aaron's friend, I said, more to myself than to Dante. Yeah, he sniffed. You've been with Aaron, haven't you? I nodded, stiffening. That River could scent Aaron still bothered me more than a little. I suppressed the urge to punch him in the nose. No wonder you didn't want to be dragged away. Let's go see Bill. He'll explain this better than I can. We wandered into Bill's office. He sat behind his desk, as usual. Dante, good. Thanks for coming so quickly. I sat down. I thought something might be wrong with them. No, no, Amelia's at home, as far as I know. She's doing fine. She'll have the best medical care available. There's a vampire doctor on the outskirts of town, an old family friend. He's gotten many women through pregnancy and childbirth. That's good, I said. What did you find? It's complicated. Something that hasn't been documented in over 1,000 years, and even then it was extremely rare. Most scholars assume the trait had died out, and it hasn't been part of our teaching in centuries. I had to really dig for it. Wait, what? What trait? I'll get to that. As you both know, in the beginning, as far as we know, humans and vampires lived in peace together, the latter feeding on the former. No one knew exactly how or why the feeding took place, but I found a theory. What's this got to do with me? Hear me out. He cleared his throat. As I understand it, millennia ago, humans developed a physiological need, one that isn't completely understood. Human males were drawn to female vampires, and human females to male vampires. These vampires fed from their human counterparts, getting their required sustenance. But that's not what originated the bond. What do you mean? River asked. The human needed to let him feed, needed to nourish this particular vampire. That doesn't make sense, I said. Humans have no need for us. No, they don't. Not anymore. But at one time, they did. Bill closed his eyes. So each vamp had a particular human that fed him, River said. Yes, the human developed a physical need to feed a certain vampire, and you can see where this led. No, I'm afraid I don't see, I said, rubbing my temples against an impending headache. The need forced vampires to procreate with humans. The humans needed the vampires to feed from them, and the vampires in response needed that particular human's blood. A bond was created, a bond that overcame all other bonds. It created a destiny for the vampire and the human. So that's how interbreeding started. Apparently, it was a necessity on the human's part, and it led to our demise because we stopped breeding with our own. I thought it was our lack of fertility that led to that.
That didn't help our cause. But if the humans hadn't created the bond, hadn't developed the need to feed us, we would most likely have continued to breed within our own species, and more of us would have survived. It's very unlikely for one species to breed with a different species in the wild. It almost never happens. We would have never been as plentiful as humans, since they're so much more fertile, but we would have continued to thrive.
So, you're saying...
I'm saying that this bond on the part of humanity that caused vampires during that time to lose their smell and thus their ability to protect themselves, and kept them from breeding with their own, contributed to our decreasing numbers.
Humans have helped destroy us. River took a seat next to me. Bill nodded.
Through no fault of their own, of course. At least, not that we know of. They didn't ask for this bond. It evolved well before humans and vampires became self-aware.
Then, Aaron, my mind raced. Could this be possible? After all these years, it was happening now.
Did this happen to every vamp?
It's not something that happens to us, Bill said. If I'm understanding correctly, the bond begins with the human.
How?
No one knows, but the theory is that it originated as a defense mechanism. Vampires are physically stronger than humans, and their senses are much more acute. Humans needed a way to survive, to ensure that vampires wouldn't eventually conquer them. What better way than to take away their sense of smell, force a need for human blood onto them, and then interbreed until vampires eventually died out?
But what causes... I sat down, my head going fuzzy.
It hasn't worked, River said. We're still here.
Yes, we are. But there are precious few of us.
Bill rubbed his head.
Then it's probably not happening with me, I said.
I'm not so sure, Bill said. You said you and Aaron heard music that wasn't there, right?
I nodded.
That's the mark of a blood bond.
Music? River said.
Music didn't even exist when all this was allegedly happening. If we weren't self-aware, we certainly didn't recognize music, other than beating bones against skins or whatever. He rolled his eyes.
Enhanced auditory stimulation between the bonded is how the theory puts it, Bill said. If what I suspect is true, Aaron has formed a blood bond with you. The pull you feel isn't coming from you, it's coming from her.
I grasped the arm of my chair, trying to wrap my mind around what Bill was telling me. No, I feel the pull. I need her. I want her. I can't stay away from her. I leave this house with the intention of going somewhere else, and I end up going to her.
You feel her pulling you. She's developed a physiological need to feed you, and once you feed from her, that need will transfer to you. You will require her blood for survival.
Bill paused. After a few moments of silence, River spoke. We were always taught that fated mates didn't exist among vampires or humans.
This isn't a case of fated mates, Bill said. Fated mates in the Were Kingdoms are bound by intense physical attraction and drive that evolves into more, but they can live without each other. Many never meet their intended mate. What I'm talking about goes beyond that. It's a bond of the blood, which evolves into a physical need and desire to fornicate and...
Our bond will never be severed.
No, can't go there. Get out of my head. What?
I swallowed the lump that had lodged in my throat and willed away the unwanted thoughts.
You've been through so much, Dante. And now?
I'll just stay away from her. Even as the words left my mouth, I knew I couldn't. The magnetic pull was too great.
If I leave her alone...
You can't, Bill said, sighing.
Not unless you're willing to truly let her go. Now that Aaron has initiated a bond with you, she needs to feed you. If you don't complete the bond and let her give you her blood, she will die.
Epilogue. The Queen.
I do miss you, Dante, but I am keeping good company. I have a new source of nourishment, one that is feeding me well until I bring you back. Though he is satisfying, his blood is not quite as potent as what I've become used to. My blood cries for your blood. It always will. I have much work to do, work to assure a place for us in the future, dear Dante. I dream of the day we are reunited, the day I can once again sink my fangs into your flesh and become one with you, body and blood. You are, and always will be, mine. Our bond will never be severed.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Blood Bond 2 by Helen Hart, performed by John Lane and Lauren Rowe. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.